listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
This here's a tale for all the fellas trying to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get, females get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad and showing body.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
A Walking Dead Wednesday.
Woo!
Recap that everybody's been looking forward to all week. No, nonstop. Just everybody hit me on Twitter. Like, when is the fucking recap? Like it changes or something.
We're going to change the day up on you.
Right. But we, you know, as always, we're going to do it, guys. Okay. We decided that we're going to go ahead and keep doing recaps of the show. I know it's amazing to me too. but in addition to that, it is also a very special day because we have a first time guest on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A person that I feel like everybody kind of knows vicariously through the podcasting exploits of Nina from Podcast Fandom and projectfandom.com. It's her husband Donald. What's going on, Donald?
Hey, what's up?
Now does anybody else call you Donnie but Nina, or does everybody call you Donnie?
Nina's the only one.
Okay, that's what I thought. It felt like one of those things. first of all, man, thank you for coming on the show, man.
Yes.
No, thanks for having me.
Is this your first year, like, podcasting?
Yes, I'm a rookie.
How you enjoying it?
I'm getting used to it. Now that we're doing two a week now, sometimes three, I'm getting the hang of it. That was a little weird at the beginning.
Were you nervous at first?
Oh, definitely. My first podcast, I don't know if you guys remember, but the first podcast I ever did was for 50 Shades of Grey.
Ooh, what one to come in on?
Yep.
Yeah, Karen's been calling you the rookie of the year around here, man.
Yes, I love you. You've been so much fun because Nina and John will be talking and they'll be doing their thing. Then all of a sudden, at the cheap seats, here you come. And I'm like, oh! So I just have a good time listening to you, sweetie.
Yeah, I thought your name was Goddamn It Donnie.
Right.
For most of the year. I didn't realize it was just Donnie until recently. So.
No, that's on the marriage certificate only.
Oh, okay. also, man, like, you know, you like kind of, I don't know, like you're the husband to somebody that's very vocal. She's on Facebook. She's very busy.
Yes, she is.
She's very outgoing. Are you the same way, or are you like, is it opposite?
Okay. It's opposites attract. I've always been a very quiet person. That's why podcasting, I like to do the podcasting because it's kind of opening me up to not be that quiet person. But I've always been a quiet person, and Nina's always been that one that just kind of handles the shit. And
well, I mean, it's a good dynamic, man. And like, I always, you know, knowing Nina through Facebook and Twitter and stuff for so long, like I think I knew her for, you know, quote unquote, for a long time, but I didn't even know who her husband was on Facebook or anything. I don't even remember what made me friend you or what made you friend me, but it just felt like I already knew you through the status updates, you know?
That's cool.
Although most of the status updates about you are like, this motherfucker Donnie did this today, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, well, technically there's a book out there about me, so.
and I know, like, when Nina talks about you, for a while I thought it was always tall tales, because you know how somebody talks about their mate but you don't really know or hear their mate. So, you know, is it true that, you know, she like does all the stuff and you like do a lot of like the cooking and things like that around the house, or is she making that up?
No, that's true. I do all the cooking and cleaning. And but Nina's will work like literally with running the website, doing a part-time job, teaching the kids. Nina works like 18 hours a day doing all that stuff.
Oh, I believe
it's very little sleep doing it. So I don't mind doing, I go to school and I also work full-time, but I have a lot of free time on my hands, so it doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, we have kind of a same arrangement here with me doing a lot of stuff around the house as well.
So he a house husband.
yeah, yeah, husband's in the house, you're in the house too. But yeah, you know, I kind of like it though. Like, I like the, I think it's kind of liberating, you know, not to always have to be, you know, coming, like, not to always feel like I'm the one that has to put in all the work and shit, you know what I mean? And then also, I don't mind some of the household chores, man. They kind of fun, depending on which ones they are, you know? Like cooking. Like, I like cooking and then looking at my wife's face when she eats my food. Like, yeah, I did that shit, didn't I, girl?
Yeah, you know? the getting that satisfaction from somebody is, it's everything, so.
Yeah, man. It's underrated, man. Now, I know we don't have you for too long, so I'm going to go ahead and get into this stuff. But I do need to know, how did you and Nina meet?
This is a funny story. All right, so I was her boss at Blockbuster Video.
Not Blockbusters. You know what? I still got a Blockbuster card in my wallet. I don't know why I don't throw that bitch away.
You
but
probably
anyway.
Still got a late fee.
I probably do.
Oh my God. What? Blockbuster? Like, just like that dates you just by saying it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we've been together since the 90s, but we met in 1999 and I was her boss at Blockbuster Video.
And she used to like page you from her car phone that was really big. It was 25 cents a minute. And, you know, every once in a while you stop by a payphone. Yeah, that's so. What is Nina like as an employee? Was she working 18 hour days back then too?
No, she was, she was part time, but at the time she was working another job. So it was just she was working a full time job and then she was working Blockbuster Video for extra money.
Ah. And who hired at who? Who hollered at who first, man?
She hollered at me.
Hey, you know what? Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. That's how I ended up getting married too. So ladies, if you're out there and you're trying to look for a man, the key is to find me and Donnie 10 years ago, 20 years ago. There you go. We were just waiting.
Did you ignore him and go play basketball like Roger did me?
Yeah, did you go out on, did you say yes immediately or did you play hard to get, Donnie?
Well, Nina will always make fun of me because she said the first time she asked me out, we went on a date, but I brought my little brother with me.
Smart. Yeah. You got to let him know, Donnie, that you're not just in this for so she can get the draws. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to let these ladies know. Like,
you got
look,
to work for it.
I'm not just some fast young man. Okay, you just not gonna come get in my pants without a little romance. Okay, you're gonna have to spend some time to get. To get with this, man. I like that move. I used to take my little brother with me down Karen's house. I'm not joking. That's serious. That used to happen. Little brother used to come with me. So
you'd be mad too.
Yeah. He didn't want to be there and I didn't want him there, but you know what? It was better so that Karen would know that she had to respect me to get some time with me. You know? You gotta tell, make sure you instill that in your children too, man. Tell your son, like, don't just go out there, you know, letting these girls get it cheap. You know,
exactly.
Taking on a couple dates, you know, get me something to eat, and my little brother something to eat, apparently too. first of all, that is a wonderful story, man. And how did she end up quitting the job at Best Buy, Blockbuster, or did you fire her?
Well, she was actually forced to, either one of us had to leave because my boss found out that we were dating.
Oh, you can't both. What? They enforce that?
Superior.
So yeah, a lot of companies have that policy. Most people don't abide by it, but a lot of companies have that policy to eliminate favoritism and things like that.
But that's what I'm saying. I've never been somewhere where they enforced it. Like, it's always like, oh, that manager's fucking that waitress, but that's just a thing that happened. You know, I didn't know that you actually could lose a job behind that, man.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you can. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who had to leave, you or Nina?
Nina did. Because I was full-time. I mean, I was the manager full-time. She's only part-time, so she left.
Damn. Yo, what's that speech like? Like, does another manager tell you this, or?
Yeah, it was another manager came to me and told me. And then at that point, it wasn't a big issue. We ended up moving in together, like, 6 months after we started dating. So we've been together for a long time.
Oh, man, that's like Lamar and Chloe, man. Like, love at first sight. Just moving right in, fast paced. I don't blame you, man. Well, you know what it is, man. Guys like us, when we see a good thing, you know what I'm saying? You just, get right in there before they realize they fucking up, dog. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You gotta catch them while the price is low. That's what I'm trying to tell these people, man. You out there waiting for, I keep hearing all these people giving dating advice. It's always like, wait till she's 35, 40 years old and she got some things. No! Get them cheap. Get them while they broke.
and Donnie, with you being an interracial couple, was Nina approaching you, was that weird? Was that strange? Had any black women ever approached you before?
No, she was the first, and it definitely was strange. But I didn't look at it as any other thing, but it was just odd.
Was it odd that someone was approaching you, or just odd because she did it like a black way, like white people do it a different way?
No, she didn't. No, it wasn't a certain way or anything like that. It was just more of a black person coming and approaching me, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, Karen hollered at me in the black way, so that's I knew something was up. She was like, "What it be?" I was like, "What is this shit?"
Oh Lord!
Like, speak English, please.
Mm-mm. I did give him tickets to me and him. Our first date was barbershop mama number two.
No, it was beauty. It was beauty shop two. It was beauty shop two. Was our first date.
And yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's not a
our
movie.
First date was around Halloween, so we saw Scary. It might have been one of the Scream movies, like Scream 2 or something, but I can't remember.
Well, if it was Scream 1, that's not a bad date. But Scream 2, I feel sorry for you, man. And she stuck with you anyway, that's good. But yeah, man, that our first date was at Beauty Shop 2, which was a play.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pre-Tyler Perry.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't very good, but I enjoyed myself. Anyway, man, let's get into this, guys. Of course, you can find Donald over at Facebook. He's Donald Bau, BAU. You can find him at projectfandom.com. You can email him. He gave us his email address, donald@projectfandom.com. So if y'all want to personally hit him up, I'd be like, I enjoyed you, because he don't know his Twitter account. And you can...
I don't. I kind of like, listen to that. It was like, I don't even know how to use Twitter.
And then you can also listen to him where they review like The Flash and random other shows, Walking Dead. You know, I just listened to that one today. So, just go out there and check him out, man, because it's funny just to hear Nina try to figure out what the hell he's doing in the other room, you know?
Yes, that's an adventure in itself. And I have a question. When y'all get married, you know, because Nina is like Beyonce. She was like, fuck it, I'm not changing my name. So did y'all have that conversation? And she was like, look, I'm already established. I'm not changing my name.
No, I mean, we talked about it, but her name is hyphenated. She just doesn't go by her marriage name in public. Mm. But legally, her name is hyphenated. And I had no problem her keeping both last names.
Did anybody give you a problem about it?
Right.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those things where dudes talk big shit, but they understand. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, if you get guys like, who was it? It was someone recently that got married, and the guy was like, I want to take my wife's last name. And then people were all, you know, like, oh man, see, I will come up and lay it down on a woman. Like, nah, you ain't about to. And then it's like, or would you, you know, when you're at the point where you're gonna, I don't know, marry someone for the rest of your life?
Right.
Would you kind of not think it was the biggest deal? Like, you already know if that's a deal breaker before you fucking get married. It's right. It's not like she's getting ready to put the ring on right after you say I do, and then she's like, aha! It's my last name on the certificate. You know what I mean? But anyway. Alright, so. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. Mm-hmm. And today's podcast, The Blackout Tips, which you can find on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews. We read them on the show if we like them. Today's podcast is double sponsored. It is firstly sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. It's Halloween time. And not only does this mark the beginning of the junk food holidays, it's also an opportunity for you to get the crap scared out of you by creepy audio plays. They've got a scary audio play album called All Your Nightmares ready for you on iTunes. Check it out. All Your Nightmares on iTunes. You can search iTunes for Jenna Simon, J-E-N-N-A, or John Faust, F-O-U-T-Z. And if you really want to pick them up, leave them a 5-star review on iTunes. And then it's also double sponsored, as I said. It's also brought to you by Bevel. Mm-hmm, that's right. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today. Use code TBGWT to get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right, man. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
This is episode 3 of season 6 of The Walking Dead. It's called Thank You, which is a very ironic name, you know, in hindsight. You never know where they're gonna get the name of the show from until after you start watching it. But yeah, it's called Thank You. And actually, let me play the theme song. Where's my theme song music for this shit? Okay, why can't I find a theme song on here anymore?
You're gonna be your whole background.
Right, I'm gonna have to search for this shit. All right, I'll look it up myself. Let's just do it like this. Theme from The Walking Dead.
Did they change the name or some shit? Like, it should have been.
I don't know.
This. There you go.
How about this? Oh, that's what is
no.
that?
No.
That's like the remix.
No acoustics. Bing, no.
What is this one? Walking Dead MT. There we go. Oh man, I just saw the theme right where I saved it. Oh, well.
Right where I saved it.
Anyway,
I figured out it was in there so well.
Episode 3 of The Walking Dead season 6. Thank You. Where we find out what happened to the original half of the crew that we saw in episode 1. And their plan that they had to pull off on the fly when a truck fell into a quarry, unleashing a horde of zombie walkers. So we basically find out what's going on with Rick, Michonne, Glenn, Nick, all those guys, Heath, because we've been wondering where were they, why didn't they all make it back to Alexandria yet? And we knew some shit must have happened, and shit did go down, guys. Mm-hmm. So, we'll start with, as always, our overall impressions of the episode. If you liked it, if you didn't like it, and whatnot. Karen, what'd you think about, Thank You?
I loved it.
Loved it, she mm-hmm. says.
I always love it.
Except for that one time that you just liked it. and then Donald, what'd you think, man?
No, I really liked it. I don't think it was as good as last week's, but I really liked it.
Last week was really fucking good, though. Like, mm-hmm. look, like I would say last week is a top 5 episode of all time. What do you think, man? Is it up there for you or nah?
I would say it was top 5, and like I said on our podcast, just the interesting thing was that there was no zombies. It was all humans.
Yeah, right. Man. Yeah. Carol went the fuck off. The only walker we saw was driving a truck. You know what I mean? Like, shit just got so real. Ninja Carol will forever live in my heart, man. That was an amazing episode. I also love this episode. It was cool because I did want to see what happened with the group. Because I was like, they got to figure something out to say why they didn't make it back. And this is pretty good. Like, I was nervous that it was gonna be like another attack of the wolves from like another, you know, party or something, but just, you know, when shit goes wrong, you know, in this show. And that actually is just enough explanation a lot of the times where you're just like, oh, I know what happened, everything went to hell. Mm-hmm. All right, man, so we can go in here and do a scene by scene and break this bad boy down. We start with a close-up of Glenn's face. Actually, we start with a pitch black, but we can hear them running and breathing because they're running through the woods. And then it's a close up of Glenn's face, and Rick is talking, and he's talking on his walkie talkie to Tobin, who is not answering on the walkie talkie. And he said, Tobin is not stopping. Light it up. You hear me? And he didn't get an answer. And I don't know what happened to Tobin, by the way, because we never get an answer. So I don't know if Tobin's alive or dead.
I'm assuming he's dead.
You think he's dead?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And who is Tobin?
Tobin
is... I was going to say it's the same thing.
Tobin is a white dude with a bald head who, he's not the asshole. He's not Carter, the guy who was hating last week.
Okay, but...
Tobin is the white dude that was in the meeting room with Carter.
Okay.
Tall, kind of balding, always wears a flannel coat. I mean, Jack, one of those, like, almost like those shirts that lesbians wear. He wears one of those.
Is that the one he was like, this wasn't my idea?
Right. He's the one that, it wasn't his idea. He helped build the fences, of the wall. Like, anyway, he's not a major character, but he's had speaking lines for, like, I don't know, 8 episodes or so.
Who knows? They might circle back to him. Who knows?
Yeah, if he's dead, they're going to have to, like, show it, you know? They're going to have to definitely go back. Then he informs Daryl, Sasha, and Abe, who are all leading the herd of walkers away from Alexandria, that half of the herd broke off behind them. Because remember, I was like, they'll have no idea that happened because the herd's so big that they're driving in the front of it. They don't know what the fuck's going on in the back.
Mm-mm.
So once he tells them that, Daryl feels like, you know, maybe I need to go back, you know, and help out. Now, the meantime, Rick is running the entire fucking time he's talking on his walkie-talkie in cowboy boots. This man is in amazing shape. And I think we really need to recognize that.
440, he be getting it.
Yeah, like, I don't know if Rick does, like, Pilates when the camera's not on. Like, every scene that we don't have with Rick in it, if he's just somewhere doing sit-ups and fucking...
he gotta be in shape, because I'm like...
Well, Nina even asked me, she's like, do you think he works out? I'm like, of course he works out. If you gotta... I'm sure that scene took a few takes. He had to run down that fucking road.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew Lincoln, he gotta be working out, because, like, just watching him, I was out of breath.
Right.
And the thing is, he's running in cowboy boots, which is like fucking running in snow. You know what I mean? Like, and he's just running in his cowboy boots and he's talking on the thing like, you know, Daryl, listen, we gotta do such and such. I'm like, dude, take a breath. Like, lean up against the tree. It's cool. Take five. Everybody mm-hmm. can, we can slow down until you get off the phone. And Rick's like, keep running.
Not till we get this touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Coach Rick. I noticed he was in great shape. I don't think he stopped moving till the end of the episode.
I think they doused him with water. It was like, just run.
As they're running from the walkers, the camera cuts to Nick, who's in the middle of the group. Nick, you guys will know as the coward who got Noah killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it slows down on him like he's going through something emotionally. I called it his coward sense was tingling. Like he could feel it.
Like a PTSD, like he'd been traumatized.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just like a panic attack because he's a coward.
Okay.
He's a coward, man. Yes. I guess we've never really got to be in the mind of a coward in the moment.
Right.
On this show before, but
no, we haven't.
He was acting real cowardly, man. Like that's probably how like Dwight Howard feels every time he goes to the free throw line. Just like, oh God, everything's moving slow. I'm gonna miss this shit again. I'm gonna lose a game. That's how I felt. The Alexandrians all started complaining. And one dude was like the complainingest. I don't know what his name was.
Me either.
I'm just gonna call
complaining
him.
Complaining dude.
Yeah.
Where did these guys come from? They just showed up out of nowhere. You got this guy with the hat and then this other guy and it's like, they just showed up out of nowhere. And
yeah.
At this point, I just wish they would just kill all the Alexandria people.
Yeah, it feels like they specifically made these people to kill for us in the audience. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when they showed the cast at the very first episode and I said on the show, I was like, there's going to be a culling. There's just too fucking many people. Like, the show is about, you know, 8 to 12 people that we care about. everybody else gotta die. I don't give a fuck about them people. Nobody does.
the people was with them at the rock crew, but a lot of them was like in the background, so most people was like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I noticed all those people and I was just like, dead. You know, like, unless you had a speaking part that wasn't complaining, you're gonna die.
The worst part about this is everybody's like, oh, Rick's turning into the governor. It's like these people are making him turn into the governor because they're freaking idiots.
Yeah, these people are way worse than, like, the governor was domineering people who were capable. These people are just like fucking inept at everything, you know? But yeah, the thing I did like though is that, it feels like I'm psychic when I watch the show now, because every time I think, yo, I wish that motherfucker would die, they die. It's amazing, man. They say something I don't like and I wish they would die. And then 5 minutes later, a zombie is munching their fucking throat. And I'm like, you know what? I'll allow it just cause I didn't like them. Anyway, complaining ass dude was like, he's just like, you know, it's his fault, right? He's got us out here leading these herd of zombies and now we're gonna die. And Michonne basically was, you know, came up to him like, get your shit together and stop blaming Rick for everything. And I was looking at that dude.
That should be her thing. Get your shit together.
I love Michonne this episode, but that was my thing though, is that dude's shirt way too clean. Way too clean. You don't get to be complaining with a clean ass shirt. He wasn't even sweating through his shirt.
With a clean shirt.
He had double layers on.
Oh Lord.
He's not even sweating through his t-shirt. Sorry, buddy, you're not putting in enough work to have an opinion. Just get the fucking running. God, I hate that.
We're here to protect you and you're complaining.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? That guy is the guy that when you need somebody, when you need people to help you move, he comes over, but then he grabs like a lampshade.
Grab a book.
Yeah, like a box of toiletries. You know what I mean? We like, man, can you grab the other end of this couch? He's like, I'm gonna get these pillows. I'll be right back. Somebody need to carry the couch pillows to the truck too. So yeah, that dude, was complaining and Michonne basically said, shut the fuck up and get in line. And, there's other guys complaining too. There's a guy with a hat named Sturgis that was talking shit. They get up to a hill where they can like rest a little bit and they figure that they're like 10 to 20 minutes ahead of the zombies. And Rick pulls, he tells all of them to get back. He's going to go get the RV that they left, at that partition. Mm-hmm. And he's going to circle around in front of the zombies and lead them away again.
Okay.
That's why he went to go get the RV. I missed that the first time we watched it. I thought he was like getting the RV to come back and get everybody or something.
Right.
He was just getting that shit to continue the plan.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, he was going to meet Daryl and them. So he goes to do that. He says he's going to go do that. But first he pulls Glenn and Michonne to the side and he says, hey, get everybody back. Be safe. Save who you can. And Michonne's like, yeah, of course, we're going to try to save everybody. We're going to get them all back. He says, yeah, the thing about that is they aren't all going to make it.
Right, because Rick has been through this. The dude that he wanted to shoot so bad his dick was hard, he was like, you know what? I'm not going to shoot this dude because I know you're incompetent. You know you're incompetent. You're going to die. He was telling them, because he had already prepared himself. He was like, no matter what you say, or how you try to prepare them, if they don't want to be prepared, they're going to die. And there's nothing you can do about it.
I love Rick's new attitude. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I know it's a very pragmatic attitude, which is, I'm going to stop wasting bullets on cowards. I just feel like they're going to die anyway, so I'm saving my speeches.
Right.
Like, it's just a waste of my breath. You're a dead man if you don't want to do what the fuck I say. Donald, what you think about it, man?
No, it's the same thing. Like, it just, he's seen shit, and that's where I get frustrated, is the Alexandrias they just think that life is all right, that they've been behind these walls, and they've been lucky that they haven't had to deal with shit, and Rick's seen it all. He just had the worst luck in the world.
Yeah, Rick, you know what it is? It's like, the Alexandrians, to me, have, like, white privilege. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know because they don't know. Like, part of me is mad at them for not knowing. But I'm only mad because I've seen 5 seasons of what Rick's crew has gone through. Yeah. So like they've been in the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like they have seen the worst of humanity, the worst that they have to offer. The people in Alexandria have no idea how bad shit is, and it's actually hard for them to imagine.
Right.
You know what I mean? We'll get to it later, but like their stories that Rick and those guys haven't even told them, because they're just like, you wouldn't even relate to this concept. You know what I mean? Like it was so bad. Remember when they first came to Alexandria and they had to do the interviews on camera? Even if they would have told them the entire truth, they wouldn't have got in.
Right. Yes, you wouldn't have let
them. That's how much shit they've had to do. And it's not like they're bad people. We've watched this group grow. But to Alexandrians, they would appear to be bad people. It's like, well, why the fuck did you bite a nigga's throat out? You couldn't have talked to him. It's like, it wasn't talking time, man. Like it was, like you had to be there for some of this shit. They was gonna eat us. You know what I mean? Like
we dealt with cannibals. What have you dealt with? Running out of pasta noodles? It ain't the same, dog.
Yeah, I feel like he's not, it's no longer a Rick-tatorship. It's more like Rick Nallard.
Rick Knowledge.
Yeah. It's more like, it's like the last 2 years of President Obama's candidacy. Like, right. He's like lame duck Rick right now. He's just like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. I don't care what the polls say. I'm not even going to make you do. Like, I know what's in your best interest. I'm not even bothering to tell all of y'all sometimes. All I'm going to do is tell you what to do. You don't want to listen to me. Cool. The ones who listen will live. And the rest of y'all will die. It's cool. Don't worry about it. So I like this new Rick. Karen, did you say if you like new Rick or not?
Oh yeah, I like new Rick because Rick has came to the conclusion that he got shit to do and he's gonna only deal with people that want to be saved and only deal with people that want to be trained. And if you're gonna fight against him, he's like, fuck it, I'm not fighting against you no more.
Right. And the thing is, I think the show makes us feel like the Alexandrians in general are inept, but that's not really true. There's some survivors among them, and those are the people Rick fucks with. Everybody else is just like, oh, you're gonna die. You know, the guys who's in the back like, it's hot. I don't think, can we just like rest for a second?
Rick's like, I got a blister.
Yeah, Rick's like, don't die because of him, okay? If he's like, if when he falls and breaks his ankle, let's just let him lay, okay?
Right, we gonna die, it's gonna be for somebody that we need.
Right.
Aaron on the Alexandria side, I think Aaron's a really good survivor, and I think he'll do really well. Heath, I think, just needs to just see more.
Yeah.
Because Heath is just one of those stupid idiots that,
yeah,
oh, I've been out here, I've been running, I know what to do. And it's like, no, you don't.
Yo, Heath is like when white people say, well, you know what, I grew up poor too. And you're just like, not the same as being black, but I understand you come from the rough side of the tracks. Cool.
Right.
You know, I get it, but you know, no, you'll see. Let's wait till the cops come around. You'll see what they do to me. So I like, I feel like Heath has potential. Aaron has potential.
I think with Aaron doing a lot of those runs.
Yeah.
I think for him, he's had more interaction with people.
Even that dude, Scott.
Right.
Scott got potential. Like they got people. They got potential, just not everybody. All right, so anyway, you pull Glenn and Michonne to the side to tell them that, basically. Like, oh, some of these motherfuckers gonna die. And
I just don't want to be y'all.
Yeah, Michonne was like, well, we're gonna save everybody, it'll be, you know, be okay. And Rick's like, okay.
If you say so.
Anyway, I got to get the running this 4K real quick. And he just fucking takes off in his cowboy boots.
He gets the gun first and takes off.
Oh wait, you're right, he doesn't take off. The complaining ass dude gets bit by a zombie.
Yes he does.
And he's already laying on the ground with the zombie basically like hugging him and biting his neck like he's giving him a hickey or something. How do y'all think he died? Like, how do you think that zombie got him?
He had to have been going to the bathroom.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
No way he was, they were all together, and then all of a sudden this guy's out 20 yards or wherever he was that nobody saw a zombie walk up on him.
And he's yelling. Yeah. What I think happened is that he was so scared when they were running, he shit in his pants. And then he went to go empty the shit out of his pants because he had to do that in private so people would know how scared he was.
It smells like shit everywhere out there.
And then that's how the zombie got him. So that's my guess anyway. Either that or he had a fear boner and he was just trying to bang it out real quick. Either way.
In the middle of that.
White people are weird, Karen. You never know what they're into.
I'm not that weird.
I don't know. That's what they, you know what? That's what the weird ones say, Donnie. There's no way to know. But I had to take your word for it. So anyway, he got killed, which, you know, my psychic powers were working. Cause that's when I was like, I wish that motherfucker would die. He did. I was like, goodbye. So he probably got bit trying to hug a zombie or something. I don't know. Just trying to pet it. I also on rewatch, I saw Heath was eavesdropping on the conversation between Michonne, Rick, and Glenn.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why he responded like he did later on, which we're going to. Yeah.
So
because he could hear them. He was in hearing distance.
Yeah, he was standing behind a tree on the other side so they couldn't see him. Rick took the gear off of that hater and kept it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought he was gonna take it off and then be like, here guys, here's a gun and a knife. Good luck. He was like, I'll take an extra gun and a knife. Bye.
Right. He was like, you ain't gonna go, what you gonna do, Mr. Zombie? No, thank you.
So then he takes off in his cowboy boots, running through the woods. There's a guy with a hat named Sturgis, really distinctive hat. And,
big old floppy hat.
He was doing a lot of worrying. You know, like, what are we gonna do, guys? Oh no, we're gonna die. And Michonne was like, you know, ignore him because now Michonne was the de facto leader of the group.
Right.
And I enjoyed this about this episode a lot. Like Michonne as a leader is so good. And we've really not got to see her be the leader of anything yet. You know, when we were introduced to her, she was kind of saving Andrea. And Andrea was being a real dick the whole time that they were friends.
She's the worst.
And even when Michonne was like, fighting the governor, Andrea wasn't listening to her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was like she's always kind of been second in command.
She's always been very independent of herself and never took anybody around her to be that leadership type.
Right. And now she's finally being like, oh no, I know what I'm doing. I'm in charge. I'm going to get you guys home. And I really enjoyed that about this episode. It's a really cool element of the show.
Yeah, and also I think it's one of those things where she was like, yeah, yeah, Rick. I mean, even though she's seen, she was like, I hear you, Rick, but I'm going to try to get everybody home.
Yeah, well, she was like how I imagine Nina was at Blockbuster when Donald would be telling her, like, hey, this is out of order. You got, you know, you can't be having, can't hardly wait. In the W's, it should be in the C's because it started with can't. And she was like, but wait is what people think when they think of that movie. Like, she was doing like that thing where Rick was telling her what to do, but she was just like, I'm gonna leave it in the W's anyway.
Nobody's gonna care.
And I don't think Heath knew that. That's why Heath was so suspicious of that conversation. Like, oh, she's just gonna do what Rick says verbatim, not knowing that Michonne's like, yeah, 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 whatever, Rick. Just go ahead and do what you're gonna do, then I'll fucking lead the way I want to.
Yeah, it was like, oh, that's right. He wasn't there when she knocked the hell out of him because he was tripping in the street. My bad.
So, you're right. He doesn't even know that she'll knock Rick the fuck out. If
right. Because I was like, well, but I was like, nope, he came after that.
Anyway, so Hat Guy was just making fucking pointless complaints. Like, what are we going to do? What if we get back there and there's, you know, what if something's happened? Stuff that they can't do shit about now anyway.
Right.
You know, what if we don't have any toilet paper when we get back?
Worrying the whole fucking group and putting fear in their hearts.
Yeah, I'm almost out of juice, guys. And everybody's like, come on, man. So Glenn told the rest of the crew, when they walked, they ran up on some walkers, a small contingent of walkers in the woods. And he told them, hey, Alexandrians, you know, y'all got two people. Y'all got one person with a limp because she, Annie, fell and twisted her leg.
Stepping on a twig.
She realized she was a white woman in a horror movie. And she said, I gotta fall real quick. But she was like being held up by another person. And then there was Heath, Scott, and another dude who I can't remember that guy's name for the fucking life of me, but this other guy with a brown shirt on. And so Glenn and Michonne tell them to stay back, we're gonna fight these walkers, only come out if we need you. More walkers come out, and then Scott, the black dude with the bald head, is like, all right, they need our help, let's go, that's our cue.
Right.
So they go and they start attacking the zombies, and they're doing a decent job, and Sturgis, the guy with the hat, is all the way in the back camping like a Call of Duty, right, and shit. And
nothing's around him. Not initially it wasn't, but he was just panicking
for. So he pulls his gun out. Sturgis is the guy complaining with that. He's the guy with the hat that was complaining.
Right.
He gets hit on the back by a zombie, and he fuck around and he shoots Scott in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Shot him right in the motherfucking leg, man. Scott falls down. Two walkers fall on top of him. He's fighting for his life. Sturgis fucking runs. Just turns around and runs. He's like, all lives matter, and just ran off.
That dude got on my fucking nerves because they told him, don't shoot a gun unless you absolutely positively have to. And I think he pulled the gun out before anything even touched him. And then, you know, you shoot the gun, you draw more zombies, and then he just was like, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, now, in all fairness, I can understand how he shot that dude in the leg.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Because he got so scared when that zombie hit him on the back. And I'm not gonna lie, I would be the same way.
I'm not saying I've been no better.
Because like, I do that shit when like a bee tries to get in my car.
have a fucking fit.
Yeah, if I walk through like a big enough spider web, that's me right there. It's, oh shit.
I do, you know, the same thing, and then Nina's like, why are you such a bitch?
Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. But you like, you know what? This is your fault. You asked me out. You know what I mean? You sure? You got a reminder.
This is what you signed up for.
You got a reminder, Donnie. I'm like, hey, I was working at Blockbuster, not the construction site.
Right.
So the buddy runs the fuck off. Which now that was the part where I was like, that's fucked up. But maybe he just didn't want to see the fallout from having to be like, hey, my bad about shooting you in the leg, dog. That's on me.
And I think, from my opinion, that was kind of to show you how that group of people really don't really care about teamwork, understand teamwork, or concerned about anybody else but themselves.
Well, they haven't had it tested.
Right.
You know, it's like how everybody has a good theory. It's like how we do on a podcast. What I would have did is it's like, or you would have been scared out of your fucking mind.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like everything's simple on the TV screen.
Ain't that the truth?
You know what I mean? But if like the power shut off tonight, I'd be eating people by tomorrow, man. I don't know how to fucking survive. I don't know shit about no eating vegetables and shit that I grew myself. I don't know any of this.
And then I'd be eating those fucking turtles.
Exactly. I'd be looking for, I'd be down at the creek right now, Donnie, eating raw turtles. Like, I'm gonna leave some meat on the bone, like Nina. But yeah, so I would, I would have probably ran off like Sturgis too if I shot somebody, you know. It's just instinct. But it's okay, guys. The other police showed up and said it was all the black dude's fault. So that dude, Sturgis, is gonna be okay.
That was not a crime charge.
Yeah. Another cop showed up.
The federal government said he was okay to run.
Yeah. He was like, you know what? I believe that black dude was reaching for something. Right. They save, Scott, the black dude, from the zombies that are attacking him, and they got real close to biting his ass.
Mm-hmm.
But they saved him. And, now you have limping ass Annie with the broke ankle, and then you got fucking Scott with a shot calf.
Right.
So you got two people with fucked up legs slowing the crew down
within like 5 minutes.
And all I could think was, Rick was right.
Mm-hmm.
Rick was right, man. I mean, now Annie's kind of wasn't her fault because she's running from the zombies, and then I don't know if you guys rewatched the episode yet, but slow it down. You can see Steph Curry comes and crosses her over. And she is walking by a tree, and then he runs away, and that's how she broke her ankle. So you gotta pay attention to the little things. Daryl is contemplating. He's with Abe and Sasha. Mm-hmm. And he's
I think when they got those two.
Oh,
who was the one that scratched?
Got yeah, scratched. Buddy got bit on the back. Dude in yeah. the brown.
When they got attacked.
Brown shirt. I don't even know his name, dog.
Didn't how did he get attacked? He got attacked helping, didn't he?
He got attacked because he was watching Scott. He was just like,
oh, and not looking.
Is that his name Barnes?
Yes, there you go, Barnes. Barnes was just watching Scott. He was just like, well, I'm glad the danger's over, and then right on his back. And he was like, oh, I got bit on the back. And he was like, I probably should have paid more attention to make sure all designers are dead.
Right, and I got a whipping.
Oh. Yeah. He forgot.
So every one of them except for Heath got fucking hurt during that whole thing.
Yep. And he just says, I know what it means. And that's, everybody knew that mean he was gonna die. Now I did notice in this scene, Heath looks at Michonne real suspicious. Like to see if she was just gonna, like, I don't know, shoot Barnes in the head or some shit. Like
chop his neck off.
But he just had this look, cause he was down on his, like, kinda on his knees almost, with Scott, and he just looked up at Michonne like, so you gonna leave him behind yet?
Right.
And, Michonne's like, come on, let's go, you know. We cut back to Daryl, Abe, and Sasha, and basically Daryl's contemplating should he leave or not to join up with the rest of the people, try to help them with the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking, and it sounds like they come to the conclusion that he shouldn't leave them. And they said, we won't be able to do this without you, but so we need you here. And he goes, he's quiet for a second, and he goes, nah, I got faith in you. It just drives off.
Ah.
I did not see that coming. I'm not gonna lie, guys. I thought Daryl was more of a team player than that.
And he is, but I think he was like, I got to go help them. He was like, and I guess in his mind, he figured out that y'all are strong enough. Him saying, I got faith in you going, I got faith in y'all to know that y'all will do whatever it takes to make it. But he's looking like that crew that's with them, gonna fuck around and get them killed.
Well,
he's like one of those guys that's seen action and just can't. He's like, I'm fuck this. This drive and shit. I need some action.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
He definitely, was ready to get the fuck up out of there. On the road, Michonne is walking with the rest of the crew. And, Barnes, she goes, can I take a look at the bite mark on his back? She does take a look. It looks grody as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, she's like, can I take a look? He said, please. Then he goes, is it bad? And she goes, it's about what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's bad.
Right.
It was real bad.
Yeah, he got a good little piece of that meat bone back there in your back.
Mm-hmm. And then he gives his life story. He was walking around a loser. He lost everything. He wants to get back to his wife. Betsy, who he got married to 3 months ago, which is optimistic as fuck. I mean,
yeah, that
good for you and Glenn, you know?
Right, and that goes to show you how everything was normal to them there, like, you know, to get married, having children. I mean, they had children too, but, you know, it's just one of those things where it's not in the same situation, you know?
Well, he had been on the road for a long time before he got to Alexandria, so he actually said that, you know, he met this woman on the way. Aaron saved him and saved mm-hmm. this woman. And then they kind of started dating and got married there. She had changed him for the better. He's now a better man than he's ever been. And, you know, it sounded like in Vietnam movies where you had a soldier who's like, I just want to get home to my wife. And you're like, that nigga gonna die.
Right. You know? Right. He's like, you ain't gonna make it to the end.
You want to see pictures of my kids? You're like, oh, you are so dead. You sweet, sweet man. His wife's name is Betsy, so I'm assuming she's, I don't know, 80, 90 years old.
Don't know a young woman got a name. Was she born 1920s, 30s?
Yeah. Anybody know any young Betsy's out there?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They get to a small town, which basically looks like, two strip malls or something. It's completely been worked over. Like, every car has the hood open and the doors open, or, you know, like, everything. It looks like the entire town's been stripped of shit, which makes sense because it's really close to Alexandria. So they probably made multiple runs there at this point, or mm-hmm. maybe they made a run or two and they realized there ain't shit left.
Correct.
Anyway, so they fucking, you know, look in there. None of the cards work. You know, Michonne says check the cards, see if any of them work. None of the cards work. Everything's ransacked. They mentioned that it's halfway to home. So however far they were out, you know, they're now closer to Alexandria than, you know, I guess however long they've been walking, 20, 30 minutes. They're about that far from the crib. Glenn pulls Michonne to the side again. And he says, listen, I need to get home, but I'm not leaving them behind. We patch got up, then we get going. And Michonne's like, oh, we can actually wrap, like, patch got up and we can wait. Cause Rick's gonna try to, you know, lead the zombies away. So we can kind of maybe wait this out a little bit and, you know, and then we'll get home later, kind of. And Glenn's like, all right, we just, you know, let's whatever we need to do, but we want to get everybody there. Now, what I was thinking of immediately was like, would Glenn bolt on the group? Because Glenn has done the, I gotta get to Maggie thing before.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe now that he knows she's safe.
Right.
He doesn't have the same, like.
That urgency.
Yeah. Or maybe he, you know, maybe he doesn't really know she's safe. I mean, they're hearing gunshots and shit. Who knows? But they had the horn, so I know he's feeling some type of urgency to get home. I just kept wondering if he was gonna break off from the group.
Right, and I don't know if he was like, I don't know if he's to the point where he's like, well, I know that she can protect herself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because I think that they gathered that from that when they assumed she was dead, or right. He assumed she was dead at that was it last season?
Yeah.
That I think he's realized that she's stronger than he thought she was.
And now she got a baby probably too. That's what I think. So, you know, he might
be. Oh, because that conversation they had.
Yeah, he might be even more worried. I think she's pregnant. You know, she just looked late to me. That's what I'm saying. During this time also, Nick is talking to Heath and he said, Heath is like, is this where it happened? And he said, I said at the dealership. He's like, yeah. And he said, I said at the dealership, me and Aiden didn't know what we were doing. And he says, the people on your crew who died, he said, they weren't afraid. We were. It seems like Nick, even without Glenn being around to listen, is trying to be a stand up guy. He's telling the truth. Now, when he said, is this where it happened? I think a lot of people think, at least it seemed like a lot of people think that's where Noah died. I don't think so. I think it's where his first crew died.
Me too.
That he was lying about in the, like, when we first saw him and Spencer, whoever that other guy was.
Yeah, the other woman's son.
Yeah. I think that's where that first mission went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And those people died because they were out there bullshitting and they were really being cowards.
And they didn't know how to handle it.
Right. And I think that's the thing that happened out there, not Noah died. At any rate, so Nick, you know, Nick was being a stand-up guy. They walk down the street a little bit further. They find Sturgis' conveniently distinctive hat in the middle of the road. And, of course, he was getting ate out.
Ah!
It was like a lesbian porn, dog. They was eating the shit out of him, man. It was like fucking six zombies eating him. Like, even the way Alexandria people die, it's just like, I don't want to be no mysteries. Let me lay in the street.
All you can eat buffet.
You're right. I'm just going to lay in the street, take off my shirt. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. Come get some. So the zombies were pigging out on him and they just quietly were like, oh, that's the wrong way. And turned around and, they use Nick as a GPS because they get to another like pathway back to the main street. And to the right is the walkers that are in the herd and they're starting to trickle in. To the left is walkers on the middle of the street and they decide to run into a pet store. And they get into the pet store and, you know, it was getting a little dicey because both times Nick had coward panic attacks, but Glenn snapped him out of it.
Right. He would call him and he would just zone out.
Yeah. He's like, Nick, which way do we go? You know, and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, to the left. My bad. So they get in and to the pet store. There's a bunch of dead pets and shit. It had to stink in there.
Of course.
You guys saw the carcasses, right?
Yes.
I asked Nina and John, they're like, I didn't see anything.
Well, you know, we pay way more attention than they do. And we definitely saw it, Donnie. You're not crazy. Mm-hmm. You're the one who's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just keep that between us. I definitely saw the carcasses. People were like, I was thinking we'd see some zombie hamsters. I was like, what the? Have you not watched the rest of the series? There's no zombie animals.
Yeah, animals don't turn in this series.
If there were zombie animals, the people would all be dead. There's like a zombie bear. Like, dude, that's it. That's a wrap.
You're going down.
Zombie dogs?
Like, zombie deer.
Yeah. Like, right. Because even the good animals would turn. If zombie squirrels would fuck us up. You know what I mean? What are you talking about? So there were no zombie pets. They were all dead. Although I'm surprised no one came in to eat those.
Oh, you know? Well, they might not know they was in there.
I would have.
How they still alive?
I would have came back and been. I would have been eating gerbils for months. I mean, they reproduce so fast. You can probably eat rabbits for just. I mean,
and they taste like chicken.
Of course they do. Just like raw turtle. They go into here and, Michonne confided in Heath with the plan. She's like, we're going to patch him up. We're going to get on the road. We're going to do this. And as soon as she starts, she's like, you know, they're a little hurt, but if we have to get out here, we'll lead them away if we have to. And then Heath goes, cause that's been working so well lately. And Michonne was looking at him like, bitch, I know you did not. I confided in you as a braided individual, and here you are fucking backstabbing me in my face. As she said, so she had this beautiful look on her face that was so menacing, and it was like a smile, but it was like a forced smile, like I'm smile, like she was smiling with her mouth but not her eyes, and she just goes, I'm trying here. I'm not giving up. Which is kind of like a silent motherfucker underneath.
That was a warning. That was the warning right there.
Right. Like, you ungrateful motherfucker. Cause she's, you know, Michonne is like, motherfucker, I'll put chains on two zombies and walk my ass back. No problemo.
Where I came from.
I ain't worried about this shit. I'll knock the jaws off these zombies and be back home in an hour. Don't even worry about it. I'm trying to help your broke ass out. Anyway, Glenn comes up with a plan to burn down some buildings to like distract the zombies and draw them to over to him, and that'll get the zombies, I guess, on the right path or whatever the fuck away from them. And then I was like, that seems like a difficult plan. Michonne even offers to do it instead of him because he has a wife, but he said he ain't care. He's like, I'm doing this because I have a wife, and you know, maybe he met an unborn child, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
he didn't want to say that.
Yeah, but he was basically like, I'm doing this to keep everybody safe. Nick is like, well, I can go with Glenn. Everybody kind of gives Nick the ain't you a coward though look. Right. And then Nick goes, I'll draw a map. And Glenn goes, no, you could come. And I was like, there go Glenn being soft again. That's what he do.
Oh, that's his thing.
He swear he Jesus.
He's sweet and kind.
Okay. Y'all don't say that shit when it be black people doing that, by the way. I noticed the racism. When it be Tyrese, this punk motherfucker, when it's Tyrese. But then when it's Glenn, it's like, he's such a nice young man.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't nothing but racism, y'all. I know y'all watch Fresh Off the Boat, but not Blackish. Because y'all racist out there.
I watch both, so problem.
Mm-hmm. Glenn said he had to do something first. And he goes around back with his bag. He pulls out two watches. One of them is Herschel's pocket watch. And then he pulls out the walkie-talkie. And he tells Rick the plan. And he says, if you don't see smoke, then the zombies are still coming your way. And he says, I gotta go. Good luck, dumbass. By the way, while he's telling him this, Rick is going commando on some motherfucking zombies. Like, just stabbing them in their heads and shit. A knife broke and cut them on a finger or the hand. And then he used a knife from the back of another zombie to stab that zombie. Like, he just beasted on their ass. So he figures it out. they decide they're gonna have to you know, well, no, they're actually sitting around the pet stop talking, and Annie's like, yo, my leg is fucked up. Mm-hmm. Why don't y'all just leave me?
Already giving up hope.
And then Scott speaks his black ass up. He's like, leave me too. I'm like, damn, these motherfuckers selfless. Alexandrians really do have no clue, because I'm not me. I'm like, yo, you know what y'all need to do? Get a cart and put me on it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all get a, what's the shopping buggies? Sit my big ass in the shopping buggy and one of y'all push.
And we gonna keep it moving.
Yeah, just put me at the top of a hill and let me roll down. I'm not dying.
No.
Matter of fact, if I could walk, I would leave y'all. That's how anti I am leaving me behind. You know? But they was both like, leave us. And then Heath says with a real shady attitude, he goes, no, we're not gonna do that. We don't leave people behind. And he stared at Michonne. And for the second time that episode, I was like, bitch.
Who you finna try?
Better than me. Ooh, bitch, it ain't me.
Caps.
Man, she was like, oh. Actually, the plan is everybody's going. We're not leaving anybody behind.
So where is he getting this from anyways? Because who has Michonne left behind?
Right.
Yeah. I don't understand where the hell he's getting his information from.
Yeah, he's only getting this from when he overheard the conversation with Rick, to which Michonne never said, yeah, I'm going to just leave these motherfuckers behind.
Mm-mm.
You know? After the, you know, they were basically like, you get in trouble again, leave us. And then he goes, we don't leave people behind. And Michonne goes, we're not going to leave you behind. Now, I did notice Michonne was mad quiet when they were volunteering to be left behind. So maybe in the back of her mind, she was like, we could leave these motherfuckers behind. But whenever Heath called it out, she was like, motherfucker, I told you we weren't leaving y'all behind. Stop tripping.
And also, I think, too, he's been around him for the shortest period of time, because like within real time, this might be hours or days, and all of a sudden he's out in the open with them.
Yeah.
So in his mind, he's like, I don't know anything about y'all, so I'm gonna try to learn. And when I'm trying to figure out what's happening, all I hear is Rick telling y'all to leave us the fuck behind.
Well, one of the reasons I think he's gonna live is because he does ask these questions,
right?
So like, while it is annoying to us as viewers a bit that he mistrusts them, it does make perfect sense that he's like, I'm care about my group survival the most,
right?
I don't know you guys like that, and I overheard y'all when I went through your phone. I heard y'all talking about me. So
what y'all over there talking about?
So Michonne goes and confronts Heath right away, which I also love. I hate when they drag shit like this out.
Mm-mm.
Like, she's just like, he was like, I'm gonna go look for something. She was like, I'm gonna be right behind your ass. And then she met him over in the other area, and she's like, I caught that shade you were throwing,
right?
And he said, look, I heard what she's like, you got a problem with me? He said, look, I heard what Rick said. And she says, which part? And he says, how he said they wouldn't all make it, they meaning us. And I said, yeah, that's cute, Heath. But can we be honest? Y'all niggas ain't making it. Y'all doing a very bad job of making it.
Right.
One of y'all already already face hugged a walker.
I got shot.
Then the other dude shot one of y'all and ran off. It's really y'all fucking up. Like, can we just, like, y'all.
Over twigs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. One of y'all broke your ankles because Baron Davis came over. Like, y'all y'all are comically bad at this shit.
Right.
You ain't never been nowhere. Mm-hmm. And you've been very fortunate to get this far, so maybe Rick had a fucking point,
right? And, hey, but not to get off topic, yeah. For somebody that's asking all these fucking questions, why didn't he take his ass ever back to the quarry and see what the fuck them zombies doing out there? All of a sudden he was like, oh, I didn't feel like going back there, but you got questions now,
right? Yeah, a lot of questions now, right?
You wouldn't ask
especially a lot of questions for a black woman. He wasn't asking all these questions when Rick was around.
Oh, because he know Rick would fuck him up,
right? But Michonne will too. He don't know Michonne
right,
like this.
Right, but he's just assuming. He's making assumptions.
Michonne done whooped Rick's ass.
Right,
cause. Now he wanna get all hotep and shit. Man, you better get the fuck out of here.
Right, cause when she hit them with, you got a problem, I was like, oh, it's about to get, I was like, she gonna fuck you up now.
I took a screenshot of this on my TV, cause I was like, this the same face. Well, you just keep leaving the toilet seat up. Like, it was the same fucking face.
Her ass done hit that cold water in the dog for the last time. She was like, I will fuck you up if I had to back my, I know it make more sense to turn on the light. I don't give a fuck. I want to sit on the toilet and not go sploosh.
Right. So, like, this is when you put peanuts on the apple pie. Okay. You know what it is. So Rick said, dude was like, Rick told y'all to leave us and shit. And she was like, that's not what we're gonna do. I'm gonna try to get all of y'all home. And he said, that's not how we do. We always get everybody home. She said, that's because you haven't had to do it any other way. You haven't been through it. Not really. Not like Rick. And I was totally here for this. You know what I mean? She's like, and not like me either, for a matter of motherfucking fact. Like, this is one of the times where I wish the show was on HBO.
She needed to
add some motherfuckers up in there, cause he needed them in his life.
She'd have cussed them smooth out.
I was so here for this read. I've been wanting to hear it for weeks, actually. So I feel like Rick, she saved some of this up from shit she didn't tell Rick.
Of course.
Rick, she said, Rick was out there. I was out there. We know. You don't. Look at your braids. Look at mine. You don't know. If you don't learn, you will die. I've been doing runs from the start, said Heath. And then she cut him off and she was like, have you ever had to kill people because they already killed your friends and you were next? Have you ever done things that make you feel afraid of yourself afterwards? Have you ever been covered in so much blood that you don't know if it's yours or Walker's or your friends? Huh? Then you don't know. And then he was just like, I guess I did not know. It felt like that scene in Lean On Me at the top of the roof when Joe Clark was telling Sam's to just jump. He was like, you smoke crack, don't you? Well, do it. Jump.
Do it expeditiously.
You're killing yourself. You might as well do it expeditiously. Like, that's how that felt. He got red so hard. He didn't even have a comeback.
Like, what comeback was there?
You know what? They should have had just a quick cut back to him. He should have had both his hands in his pocket with his head down, and he should have kicked the can. He's just like, shoot, I've been out there.
And you know what? I guess he knew shit got real because it's one of those things where he ain't really trying to buck up at her.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where when she got crunk, he was like, oh, you'll fuck me up if I keep pressing this issue.
Well, you know what? She cussed him out like your mama in church. Cause remember, there were zombies outside. So
right,
she couldn't
get loud.
She couldn't get loud. It was just intense. Like, she never yelled. She was just like, then you don't know. And he was just like, I don't know. I'm sorry.
She should have been like, because I will fuck you up.
Right. Yes. Like, she did everything but pinch him like my mom used to do
right.
in church.
You know how you get in trouble? Your mama look at you like, try me. Try me. It's going to be me and you.
She did everything but pinch him on his leg. That was the only thing missing from that scenario.
No, pinch the top of his ear.
Yeah. There's Glenn and coward guy Nick, and they're walking down the street. They find there's Will, who was a 19-year-old kid that went up with them on their first run or something, one of their initial runs with Nick and that other dude, and they had left him to die. And he basically felt bad about it, and he's like, I'm gonna kill him. Cause he was a zombie that was pinned under a car, and it took forever for him to kill him. Just kill him, dog.
Right.
But he had to go through all the emotional steps. It's just like, you know, this motherfucker is gone. Like, he's just not built for this world.
Right. And I think before when he was kind of overzealous, mm-hmm. before, like, I want to do it, I want to kill. And I don't know if he was just trying to get over that fear or get over that anxiety.
Yeah. He's trying to reform himself.
Right.
He's trying.
But do you think this was his ultimate cause of kind of relieving himself?
What do you mean? The killing,
like,
the zombie?
Because he kills this kid, and he probably felt guilty for leaving this kid to turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
But then at the very end of the episode, what he does, I wonder if he kind of felt relief, and that's why he did what he did.
Maybe, man. It could be that. I do feel like he definitely has some emotional hangups and guilt issues.
Right.
But, you know, my thing is, like, I feel like people give him props for trying to be a better person. But, you know, do or do not, there is no try. You know what I'm saying, dog? Like, I don't give a fuck. You still a coward. You got coward all in your jeans, dog. I don't trust you. So yeah, he does stab this dude. It takes him 37 minutes. And then he finally stabs a zombie. They hear some gunshots in the distance, which must be the gunshots from Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
The zombies hear the gunshots and they start heading towards the gunshots. Which is probably, you know, it's good for the crew because it's actually leading them out of town.
Right.
So, you know, as long as that's working, now they'll be heading towards Alexandria, which sucks, but they're going away from the pet store. So that means they might make it. Meanwhile, Rick running for 20 minutes, in the hot sun with the cowboy boots and the bleeding hand.
I might be going too far, but when they were there, I think they was trying to leave.
They haven't left yet.
Okay. My bad. So they haven't been.
No, this is just them looking out. They see the zombies going to the gunshots and they're like, okay, we might be able to. They say we'll make our way to the feed store and then we'll get out of here.
Okay.
After the zombies pass.
Okay.
Rick running in the sun and hot ass sun and the shit still running. All right.
He ran past all the dumbass zombies that ran into the wall.
Yeah. They were just still chilling there, like, oh man. And so he's going to get the RV. I think he hops in the RV and starts it or some shit. So, meanwhile, Barnes is writing a letter, a Civil War letter to his sweetheart.
Ah!
My dearest Betsy.
I know.
It has been a coon's age since I've seen you.
Men or boys, we're not looking too well out here today.
Upon the morn, my brothers in arms shall ensue upon the battlefield.
Right.
Anyway, he's writing this letter and shit.
Love, my dearest Betsy.
Yeah. Love, Beauregard Barnes. They don't make no Beauregards either anymore.
It was a scroll.
Yeah. Why was it a scroll? They have a sheet of paper in there?
Nope.
He really went and found like a scroll and didn't even fill it all out. Like, he's just like a big ass scroll. Anyway. So he hands it to Michonne and Michonne's like, keep this shit. And she writes in her own skin, on her skin in ink, you're getting home. But I was like, she's kind of dark and there's no lights on in there. It would have been funny if he would be like, can you hold your hand a little closer? I can't read that. I'm getting home. Okay, thanks. Do you got a highlighter? Can you write this in highlighter a little bit? No? Chalk? We got some chalk, guys?
Mm-mm.
She writes that in there. And the zombies in the back of the pet store conveniently start banging on shit. Now, I don't know what these zombies are doing in there so quiet all this time.
They were sleeping.
But they, right.
Yeah, they woke them up.
I heard them. They were like, clang, clang, plot device, plot device.
They was like, somebody's cussing somebody out and we hear it.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, it could have been the gunshots from Alexandria.
Right.
Maybe they heard it in there too.
Right. That caused them to start moving.
But anyway, they just like, let us in. They was knocking real loud. The problem I had with this part is when they did open the door that the hidden zombies were in, I was a little upset that the zombie that walked out wasn't banging on the door. You know what I mean? Like, they should have made that zombie be like, clang, clang, I'm the one making the noise, you know? But instead it just kind of walked out like, hey guys, and then she, you know, Michonne killed it.
I thought the one on the ground was the one banging.
Oh, maybe that's what it, okay, so he was banging.
I think that one came out swinging.
All right.
You know what else was weird was the door was hidden, because there was like this like poster or something over the door. Yeah. And it's like, why the hell do you have a door hidden?
Well, that made sense to me. I feel like all pet store shops have a hidden door, and they go there in times of panic, you know. Right. Like, I feel like that's where the owners were. You know, what if the snakes get out? What you gonna do?
You know what?
It's a panic room.
You get right. to the panic room.
But you know who? You gotta protect yourself in case the snakes get out, the spiders right. get out, in case you have mutant rabbits. Right. And I think that they may have did that to kind of hide from the zombies and end up dying in that little room.
Yeah, that's what I think happened. So anyway, she kills these zombies, but then the herd of zombies hear them. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, fuck them gunshots, it's people over here. And they start heading towards the door. And it was funny because it was a glass like door, and they just all start standing right in front of the glass. I was like, can't the zombies see y'all?
Yeah. It don't matter, I get, you got heard.
It was like, fuck it. Michonne's like, fuck it, we gotta do it now, we'll do it live,
don't have a choice.
I love that little plan they had. Like, they all had the guns out, they open the doors, they shoot the first volley of gunfire to kill the zombies in front of the door. Michonne takes two of them out with her sword, and then they start running down the street, and they keep running, and Annie suddenly realizes that she is a white woman. And she's like, oh no, this is a horror movie. And she falls again.
Right, she the worst.
I was like, didn't you learn not to fall? And she was like,
I told y'all last to leave me back two scenes ago.
Now, she was selfless as fuck though, because as soon as she fell, she was like, I give up, go without me.
She was like, I'm not going to make it.
That is not how I'm dying in the zombie apocalypse. I'm telling y'all now. I'm like, if I fall down and the zombies are coming, not only am I asking you to save me, but as they descend upon me, I'm gonna be cussing y'all out for not saving me. I'm like, oh help, I still want to live. And then y'all gonna be like, I don't know, zombies. And I'm gonna be like, man, fuck you, Donald, you a bitch anyway. That's why your girl had to ask you out. I'm gonna be bringing up personal information and shit. Stop putting nuts on apple pie then, you know.
Well, I already know I'm gonna die, so right. You know, I've already come to that conclusion. I won't make it long in the zombie apocalypse world.
I'm gonna be talking shit.
Nina, was it just me, or was a few of those zombies going really fast too?
Doc, the zombies this week felt faster than last week. Especially, well, we'll get to this other scene, but like,
is it herd mode?
I don't know, they just felt faster. Like, last week they kind of felt like, okay, let's go. But now this week they were like power walkers, like them old ladies that be at the mall before they open.
It's like, it's been a few weeks since they've eaten and they're hungry.
Yeah, they're like, let's go, we can get them.
Food.
But yeah, she didn't talk nearly enough shit. So she died. And then, they just start going on without her. And Michonne is, you know, just being a good leader and shit. At around this time, Glenn and, Nick realized that the store they were gonna burn up, it's already burned up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why it was already burned up, but I mean, he did say it had a lot of dry shit and it could burn easy, so I don't know. Anything could have happened.
Maybe somebody else set it on fire.
Maybe. Now, I noticed there were stairs that led to the roof of a building there, like a walkway. But they panicked and fucking Nick led them the opposite way. He saw zombies coming and he was like the worst Siri of all time. You know, like his GPS was not good.
Right. And that's... That's
the Apple Maps.
right. You are here. No, the fuck I'm not. I said you are here. Mm-mm. I'm not here.
Make a U-turn. Now make a U-turn. Now make a U-turn.
Now make a left and another U-turn.
Right.
And I think, my personal opinion, I think if Glenn would have been leading, they would have went for that fucking ladder.
Right.
But I think with Glenn not leading and not knowing where to go, and he's trusting him to kind of lead him in the right direction, because he was like, this is where the other group died. So he was like, okay, you're familiar with the layout here.
Right. So they end up running down this alleyway where there's like a fence that they can climb over, but on the other side there's already walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think there's barbed wire at the top of this fence, so like they can't really climb over it.
Mm-mm.
And there's like a dumpster down there, and there's a fire escape, but it's kind of like blocked off. It's got like a couch on top of it, so they're kind of getting stuck there, you know. Michonne and those guys, they reach a fence and they're like, all right, we can get over. And they help the guy, they help Heath over first, and they help Scott over, the guy who got shot in the leg. And then the healthiest people, Barnes with the bite in his back, and Michonne climb over Blast. And as they start climbing, the zombies start grabbing at their legs and shit. Yada, 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 fucking, Michonne gets over, the other dude doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it felt like, American Gladiators, like the last stage where, y'all remember American Gladiators, man? Mm-hmm. Like, remember that last obstacle course? And they used to have that one thing where it's like a conveyor belt and you had to climb up it where it's going the opposite way.
Yes.
And like everybody would fucking fall down that thing cause you're exhausted and then you just climb up the side on the steps anyway. Oh man, that was my show.
And then
shout out to Ice.
Didn't they have to climb a wall at the end too?
Yes. Like they had that.
Shoot shit at them.
The net. Well, I don't think shooting shit is part of the last obstacle course.
Oh, okay. No, that probably definitely one of the last events. One.
Shooting that tennis ball. By the way, how did that tennis ball end with no injuries to people?
Right, because that shit looked like it was going like 100 miles an hour. Like, poof. I'd be like, oh my God, did you kill somebody?
Also, what does that have to do with
being... Serena's never killed anybody, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She can hit that shit 100 and some miles an hour.
Them people be dodging them shits. But see, that's like a person that's trained all their lives to be on the tennis court. This shit would be like Larry from accounting. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Donald from Blockbuster and he's challenging. I'm like, oh, this dude will definitely get hit by that tennis ball. But nobody ever got hit like in the nuts or anything. Definitely your weekend, American Gladiator.
Talk about American Gladiator. The thing is, like, when he was getting ate up, he kept looking at him, and I think he was realizing, shit, everybody ain't gonna make it. Like, that's when it finally dawned on him.
Yeah, he shot zombies, and then he got blood on his face, and it was ironic. Did he know if it was from his friend Barnes or himself or the zombies? He didn't know.
Mm-mm.
It's just like Michonne told his ass, because black women be right. That's why you never argue with a black woman if you can help it, guys. That's what happens every fucking time.
That's why you marry him.
Marry him and then just be like, you're right, dear.
Yep.
Just keep it light. That's what I do. That is the worst too, cause she was right and he couldn't say nothing. Like, he's just like, fuck. I don't know whose blood this is. He's got the blood on his face. He realized how hopeless it was. And Barnes is just pushed up against the fence and the zombies are just fucking eating him. And then you see his note with the dearest Betsy.
Loved one.
Dearest Betsy Ross.
And that quill ink.
And the zombie just like stomped on that shit. It was like, ah, fuck your note, bitch.
Ah! You ain't making it back.
Then we get to a pivotal scene. Glenn and Nick are trapped in the alleyway. The fence is too high. There's a garbage bin there, like one of those big industrial garbage bins that are behind restaurants and shit. And they stand on top of it because they're trapped. Well, actually, no. First, they start shooting the zombies once they realize how quickly they're getting surrounded. And there's thousands of them. I mean, there's right. So many zombies. And the thing is, I did see a fire escape that could go up. It had like a box or some shit and a couch on it. But the zombies were moving so fast, like Donald said, like it felt like they turned back and the zombies were already past that. So it's like, well, fuck, man. I don't know what you're supposed to do now. So they stand on top of the garbage bin together and they're just hanging out being friends and shit. And Nick gets the coward look on his face. And then he goes to Glenn, thank you.
Yeah, because he started zoning out and shit started moving slow again.
Yeah, the coward sense was kicking in. It was tingling.
And is it me or does Nicholas always look like he's just about to cry or he's just finished crying?
Yes. Yeah,
that's his face. He like right. He got a perfect, I'm scared face.
He like, his girl is constantly breaking up with him, you know? Just one of those guys. So he's like,
And it's a black woman that's just gonna ask him out and mm-hmm. stay with him.
He should have tried to holler at Michonne. She would have protected him with that sword. But yeah, so he basically was like, thank you. And then Glenn was like, the fuck you talking about? And he put the gun to his head and shot himself in the head. And I said, finally he's dead. Oh, I hated that dude. I hate me a coward. I'm sorry, guys. Nothing less dependable than a coward in a crisis.
And one thing I got to say, is they did a hell of a job with that scene, mm-hmm. because they didn't show him shooting his head, but they shown like Glenn's
face when the blood right. splattered on his face.
I was like, shit.
And he looked all shocked and shit. And then as Nick fell, Glenn tried to grab him for some reason. I guess just instinctually, he's such a good human being. Right. He wants to save everybody. So he reached out to caress him. And they both fell down into the pile of zombies.
And I was like, fuck you.
And then everybody was, yeah, everybody realized, oh, that's right. Nick is a coward piece of shit. And he just put Glenn in a real bad situation.
Right, because he fucking panicked. And he really wasn't trying to think of a way to get them out. Because, like I said, if Glenn would have been taking point, Glenn would have. Because Glenn was how he found Rick. Like, he knew how to move around the city and all that shit. As far as, you know, escape routes and shit like that. But with him in his fucking panic mode, oh, he made me so goddamn mad.
Well, he looked at Herschel's watch. He called Rick dumbass. I mean, things were getting kind of sentimental for Glenn this episode, so it could have been building up to a goodbye, you know, for a lot of people. Now, he did land on the bottom of the two of them. So if it's two of them, clearly on top of him is Nick. And Glenn's pinned underneath as the zombies, like, descend on Nick. And they're just, like, fucking going to town. I mean, I'm talking, they eating the rooter to the tooter of Nick. I'm talking about chitlins, hog maws, pig feet. Like, every part of Nick was getting ate.
Yes,
I saw Walker pull out some Texas Pete. I was like, yo. These motherfuckers are going to town.
It was a potluck.
Yeah, a couple of them had fixings.
Right. I bought the potato salad, y'all.
Now, the way it was shot, it was so much blood, and the angle was so odd compared to how they normally kill people. You don't really know if Glenn's being eaten or if Nick's being eaten, and I think that's done on purpose, because I think it's Nick being eaten, and then they're purposely being like, but it could be Glenn, you know what I'm saying?
But I think, like Nina made up a good point, was that Glenn was aware that whole time. He was screaming and stuff like that. And she said, if somebody's sitting there ripping out your intestines and eating them and stuff like that, would you be alive and aware that this shit's going on?
Yes. I'm going to tell you right now. Yes, you would be. And this is why I know that. Because they cut the sound. Like, they knew what they were doing. Like, they knew how we would think about this scene, so they cut the sound, so I can't tell if he was screaming. It just looked like he was. But he could, what if they had already ripped out all the parts of him that make scream sounds, and they was going to town, and his head was just still alive, like, oh, nigga, this hurts. Either way, I mean, it's purposely manipulative, right? I don't think, like, I think they want it to be ambiguous. I think, depending on what kind of person you are, you will probably see what you want to see when you look at that scene.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're cynical like I am and kind of and you kind of hate that Glenn gets a pass for being a pacifist, you probably want to see him dead, and that's how I see it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But for people that love Glenn, that, you know, understand the show has written some really tough corners for people to get out of and gotten them out of it before, I think they want to see him alive, and that's how they see it, is he's definitely alive. And that's really the amazing ability of this show and the writers in this scene, is to get people so fucking opposed. Like, people were arguing with each other on Twitter about it
for hours.
None of us write the show, guys. Mm-mm. I don't know. Someone told me today, it was like, so you think this is gonna happen? I said, yo, on some real, I don't know. I don't write the show.
Right.
Like, next week he might, or 2 weeks from now probably, he might be dead, he might be alive. I don't know. It's all up to how they write it, if it's going to be good or not. I'm pretty much withholding my judgment on if it's good or not until then. I think we're only judging half of the puzzle right now, right? Karen, what were you going to say?
Oh, and it's one of those things where I also, they kill characters. Like, and I think with a lot of people who maybe don't watch Game of Thrones or some of these other shows where they don't give a fuck about your emotional feeling towards characters and will kill people, I understand. I don't want him to die, but if he's dead, I completely understand, because this is just the way this show is written, and that's kind of, oh, yes, eventually everybody's going to die.
Well, I personally do want him to die. I don't like Glenn. He was selfish with the shit with him and Maggie. Both of them were extremely selfish to put everybody's life in danger trying to get to each other. And I understand they have their priorities and shit that they think is really important, but when it's putting other people's lives at risk, you're a detriment to the group. Also, I hate his pacifist streak. I hate it. I don't know why Tyrese and Morgan and people like that get hate for adopting more militant tactics than he does even. Like, at least Morgan will knock a motherfucker out with that stick. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
he will.
You know, like Glenn's whole thing is like, every human life, I'm not going to take one. So I get that he's the heart and soul of the show and the moral of the group, morals of the group. But, for me personally, that shit's been hella annoying, man. You know, like, on some real shit, if he died because Nick got him killed, that's a fitting and ironic end.
I think that's
The morality of this show. The show always does the, you didn't handle your business, and this is what happens when you don't handle your business.
Right. His death will be justified. Like, for me, it's justified.
Right.
Because doing what he did, I completely understand. I still liked him. I loved his character. Mm-hmm. Despite.
Well, he's good for the show. Right. This isn't he's a bad person. He's almost too good of a person. Like
Jon Snow.
Yeah, he's fucking up the program, man. Like, no offense, Glenn. You seem like a nice guy. But you can't be out here letting everybody do the heavy lifting with killing people and shit so you get to have clean hands. You know what I mean? So, anyway, man, I just think.
I don't care either way, but for some reason, with everything I'm seeing, I think he is alive. And mm-hmm. I think they're going to pull that out. But if that's the case, then I do want to see his end like everybody that's read the comics sees the end.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I no longer associate the show with the comics. Like, I stopped a while ago because, in the show, Andrea is dead, but in the comics, she's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're telling two separate stories.
Yeah, I've given up on trying to, like, I don't think the deaths will necessarily come together like that. I think some of the bigger events will, like, right. Oh, certain Alexandria, the prison, when they lived on the farm. I think they'll do those type of sets, but I just think things are going to change, and I don't even know if we'll get to see, like, the way that we see villains and stuff from the show. I don't think they can necessarily be done the same on TV. Compared to the comic. I mean, like, I don't even, Neville says fuck every other word. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how you put that on the show.
Mm-mm.
Is it just going to be beep, beep? Or is it just going to be something corny like, what in the damn hell and bull crap are you guys up to? You know, I don't know.
Like, I mean, if you look at, like, Battlestar Galactica, and I think they did a good way, they turned it into frack instead of frack. Fuck.
Yeah, that would
and
be corny.
They turned it into a good way.
See, that was okay though, because you went 75,000 years into the future, and it's like, oh, maybe frack is fuck 75,000 years from now. This shit is like today, nigga. Like, we say fuck. We say fuck. I'm surprised none of the black people get to say the n-word, but anyway.
Oh Lord.
This
is AMC, not BET.
Yeah, they cut it out. And you know what another reason is? Because remember last year when Rick ended it, Train A, when he goes, they're messing with the wrong people, and everybody was like, oh, he couldn't even say fucking, that's terrible, AMC. Well, then how they gonna do Neville, man? Y'all already tripping. Anyway.
That's the truth.
So I did freeze it during this scene, because I rewatched it several times to see all the ways that, because people just swear they could have survived. Some people say they could have jumped from the top of the trash bin to the fence, which had barbed wire on it. No.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another angle where they said they could jump to part of the fence that didn't have barbed wire, but it was further away. Here's the thing. You're talking about a white man and an Asian.
Come on now.
They're not going to make it. All right. Now, if it was some of them brothers tapped, you know, except for Noah, because, you know, Noah had the bone structure of RG3. He would have never.
He wouldn't have made it.
He was not quite. He would have twisted his ankle fucking thinking about it. But, you know, if it had been like Scott before he got shot, maybe Heath, they might could have made it. You know, some of the fast twitch muscle fibers. They were not able to make it that way. I thought maybe they should get inside the trash bin.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I think that would have been a good way to do that.
Me and you would have survived, dog. Yeah. So now we don't know what's in the trash bin because they never even fucking bothered to look. But that was what I was thinking, was get in there. and the zombies were not capable of really getting inside the trash bin. Once you close the lid, you're good. And none of the zombies, and it was just tall enough. It's not like zombies are athletic and jump up there or even fall in.
And there could have been some chicken wings from Nina in there. They had plenty of meat on them.
Plenty of meat. Could have been eating chicken wings for years, literally. Then the other thing I thought was, okay, say you get in the trash bin, then you grab one zombie, pull it in with you, kill it, cover yourself in walker guts, and now you get out with the zombie camouflage on. What y'all think about that plan?
Yeah, I just thought they should have waited out a little bit longer than ran up that fucking fire escape.
Yeah, well, see, I think if you cover yourself in walker guts, that's how they can't sense you. Then you can walk up the fire escape or whatever, you know what I mean? But wait till night, you know? I don't know. Wait till the zombies calm down and then fucking go up there with them. Anyway, they didn't try any of this shit.
The zombies nap.
Yeah, they didn't try any of this shit.
They just don't nap like the vampires?
They don't nap, no, but they get less, you know, like they calm down eventually. Like when they see something, they're like, oh shit, new iPhone 6 is out. And then after a while, you know, they're just like, I don't care anymore. So anyway, Michonne is in the woods with Heath and Scott, which means all the black people made it, y'all. Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
All the brown people lived.
White people, 4,750,306,220. Black people, one, bitch. Oh, we got one. We finally on the board.
We on the board.
It's in the fourth quarter, baby. Don't look now. Don't Woo! Call it a comeback. Don't call it a comeback.
We been here for years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I touchdown spiked on that shit. Much of y'all shit on this show for killing black people, I ain't seen. That shit should have been trending worldwide. We made it.
I was happy.
Mm-hmm. That poor Asians.
Well, the problem with the Asian thing was, if they do eat Glenn, they're just gonna be hungry 20 minutes later, you know? So like,
aww.
I just really felt bad for the zombies at that point. Michonne erased that note that you're gonna make it home off her skin real slick. And then they walked in the river, taking, Scott home. And I'm assuming he might get his leg infected from that dirty river water.
Yeah.
Yep. And Heath looked in the reflection in the river and saw blood on his face.
Right.
He realized that Michonne was right about everything, and that's why you need to be listening to these women. Let's see what else happened. Oh, Rick is now in the RV.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped the RV to the point where he thinks the zombies will converge, and he's going to lead the zombies back along the path on a different road. And he radios in, talks to Sasha and Abe and Daryl, and he's like, basically like, I'm okay, I'm gonna be coming your way with the zombies behind me. And they say, Sasha says real sarcastically, how about that, he's gonna be coming our way, Daryl. And Daryl is no longer with them because he's been riding to try to get to Rick and those guys. And basically he hears this and he's like, fuck, I guess they didn't need my help. So, you know, he pulls over to the side of the road. Rick says, we got to keep going forward with the zombies. We can't turn back because we're afraid. This is for them. Going back now, before it's done, that would be for us. So, like, we need to complete this mission. Get these walkers 20 miles out. Keep them going the other way. Because if we don't, then we're really just being selfish trying to get back and check on our families and shit. But eventually these zombies will turn back to Alexandria and will fuck everything up even worse.
Right.
Rick wrapped his hand up in the RV a little bit. And he's just sitting there waiting to see some zombies so he can start it. And right about then, a dude busts in the back and starts shooting the place up.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I said, fuck Morgan.
Right. I said it last week. You know, that's some real... Go ahead.
This will be his fourth time. I'm talking about his fourth time. We done seen him.
Mm-hmm. So the wolf that got the gun from Morgan, and remember he had like five other people with him, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He busts in, starts shooting up the RV. He shoots right where the engine block and radio and electronics are, by the way. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Caught that on that second view. You know how we do, guys. And you see sparks fly and everything. He ends up wrestling with Rick. They're fighting. Black dude that's a wolf gets on top of Rick's back. The radio was still on, so Daryl actually heard the gunshots through the walkie-talkie.
Right.
He's like, Rick, you know, not getting the answer. But he's still like, so then they show him on his motorcycle, like speeding. Rick does fight off both of the guys, stomps on one of them, pulls out his gun, shoots both of them, kills them. And then he's sitting there, and I guess, I don't know if the walkie-talkie got shot or he just hadn't thought about it yet, but he hadn't picked it up yet, right? So after he kills him, he looks in the, you know, looks in their shit like he does everybody that's dead. And he's scavenged. By the way, I love that he low-key just scavenges everybody now. It's like a video game.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta fill your pockets.
Right. It's like, oh, ammo. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you collected 2 flowers.
Right.
You also got 2 spikes.
Plus 2 potion of healing.
Right. So 2 more healing hearts.
So he fucking scavenges these dudes and he finds some baby food in one of their pockets, which I'm assuming is Alexandrian baby food. At first I thought it was the applesauce from back in the day, but that don't make no sense.
Well, that's what Nina thought, I think even when we watched The Talking Dead, they said it was carrot baby food.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that ain't really
from Aaron.
Yeah. So, it was probably from the Whole Foods right outside Alexandria. So he knew, like he had a look on his face, like I know this food. And then he looked in the rearview mirror or the side mirror, and he saw some wolves on the side of RV, and they stood no chance. Mm-mm. He pulled out the motherfucking AK.
The chopper.
And today was a good day because he shot through that motherfucker on the side of the RV, killed all they asses. So he took care of what Morgan wouldn't do, basically.
I kind of wish that these people would have killed somebody, though, because then it would have made Morgan feel like shit. I think at this point, Morgan still wouldn't feel remorse because nothing bad happened.
Right.
With him letting these people go, I would have liked it if they would have killed somebody.
Well, they still might feel remorse. Because Rick ain't get out of there clean, man. He tried to start the RV and he got stuck.
Right, but...
And Daryl, we see Daryl when they cut back, he's actually going back to Sasha and Abe. So he's not even coming to help Rick. And now the RV won't start.
But to go back a little bit, when he was talking to Daryl, he also tried to key up Glenn and them and got no response.
Yeah, you're right. Glenn, we don't know if Glenn's living or dead, all he knows is that he didn't see that smoke that Glenn said he would see.
Right, because he started looking up in the air.
So he knows that plan didn't work. So at some point, maybe they'll go back out there to try to find out what happened to him. Maybe he left behind his belongings in that pet shop.
Shit, if Rick make it.
If Rick makes it, yeah. Now, I don't know. Rick could probably, like, climb on top of the RV, maybe. I don't know.
Rick's got to be going crazy at this point, though, because he's got to assume the worst. Because these guys survived Alexandria and got out of there with his baby's food. Yep. So he's got to assume the worst at this point, and all he probably is thinking about is getting back to Alexandria.
That was the most broken he's looked since Lori died.
Yeah.
Like, he just looked like, man, what's the fucking point? You know what I mean? Like, the fucking car won't start, anything. And the way they shot that last scene where the walkers come out of the woods towards the RV, like, one of the walkers is damn near walking in the fucking door. Like, you're just like, Rick is just gonna be in there like, go ahead and eat me, man. Fuck it. I don't care. Next week, it looks like we get some Morgan time, 90 minutes long.
Not be 90 minutes of fucking Morgan, because I couldn't take it. I can't take it.
Unless
Morgan dies. Then I'm like, all right, this is worth 90 minutes.
I'm going to tell you like this, man. This is exactly what I want. I want 90 minutes of Morgana Tello. I want to see that goddamn great-ass acting Lenny James.
See who this cheese man is.
I want to hear more of his fucked-up southern accent. Rick, we shouldn't be doing this. I love that dude, man. He's like a terrible character because he don't kill nobody and shit, but that dude acts, he can act so good, man. Like when he dies, I'm gonna miss his acting more than I'm gonna miss the character, if that makes sense to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We got a ton of emails, guys, so we need to go through those. But Karen, you looking forward to the Morgan story or not? It seems like me and Donnie are opposed on this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because it's a story that they've got to tell. You know, they can't, you got to explain to me why he just refuses to kill people. Like, because when we seen him before, he was a fucking lunatic. So we got to find out what happened.
And some of the best episodes of Walking Dead for me have been the ones where they go back and give a single person's like story.
Yeah, they did that with the governor and that was great.
Yeah, like I kind of like those, like, you know, now not everybody deserves that treatment.
Oh,
maybe,
no.
Maybe people feel like Morgan isn't, but I feel like we waited like fucking 2 years to see Morgan again.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was so excited about it, and especially new badass Morgan compared to the Morgan in the comic books. I do want to see what his deal is, you know. So all right, let's get into some of these emails. But yeah, I do want to see him, because he said he learned how, this motherfucker said he learned how to use a bow staff from a quote unquote cheese maker. What does that even mean?
Was it a kung fu cheese maker? What's happening here?
Like, is that just code for white? Is that what we call white people now? Cheese makers? All right, let's get to some of this feedback. We got a lot of these. Matter of fact, we might just say this is brought to you by Bevel. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yep.
The feedback for Day Walking is brought to you by Bevel. The first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. You think Glenn was in a close shave? You'll have a close shave with Bevel. That's right. Unlike Nick, you will be able to cut it. Your hair, that is, with a razor that cuts over the skin so that you don't get those razor bumps. Okay, guys? White people have all the razors designed for them, and that's why they get to have those very smooth faces, and they get those razors that have 75 blades, and it cuts beneath the skin because the hair grows different and the skin is different.
And attachment pieces.
But what about my black ass skin, guys?
Oh, Lord.
You think I don't want to be comfortable all day? You think I'm not tired of razor bumps? You think I'm not tired of skin irritation? Well, I am, everybody. Just like Morgan is tired of killing. And it's time for you guys to get out there and get rid of that stuff by going to getbevel.com using code TBGWT, and you can get 20% off of your first month at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com, code TBGWT. Here's our first one. Dave writes in, hello TBGWT. First off, Ryder, Karen, you two keep giving us great content every week. Thank you. The Walking Dead, hashtag Day Walking. Season 6 has been fire. I have to admit, season 6, episode 3 had me like, what the fuck? The Walking Dead, but this is the show. They kill characters. As far as I'm concerned, Glenn is dead. We got to move on.
Straight to the point. He was like, yo, fuck it, we gotta move on, y'all, quit the morning.
Well, you know what, man, I do want to take the time out to say, no matter what happens with Glenn, the show has reached a new point where you new low, new high, however you want to define it, with the way they're teasing it. That is new. The way that they don't give him the in memoriam during Talking Dead, they're releasing statements on the internet, they're doing interviews, like they're being very coy about it. And if people are getting annoyed with it, I can understand, because they've never done that before.
Correct.
You know, and maybe they just feel like they want some of that Jon Snow love, you know, some of that,
right?
Hey,
because they know he's such a big character,
let's get the people right. talking, let's maybe they, you know, I don't feel like this show would need to be desperate enough to do that yet. Mm-mm. But you know, like they've teased things before, but just this is definitely a new level. So I feel like people are reacting to that more so than just what the story is saying. They're right. reacting to it like, well, what are you guys really doing? You know what I mean? Like, you clearly wrote it to get the tease out of people. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people are going to love being fucked with and some people aren't, you know?
True.
What's this?
The person that I want to see, though, if he is dead, is mm-hmm. Maggie. I think Maggie is not going to be right if he is dead.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the only person she has. She's lost everybody.
Yep. Right, her dad, her sister, everybody gone. That is right.
Unless she's pregnant, then she got that baby. So Glenn is dead. We need to move on. We got to move on. I like how he said we got to move on like it's been months. It's been like 3 days. You got to move on, people. Also, I know most were happy to see Morgan, but what are they keeping from us? Did they ever cover the reason he left, where he was, and then finding the group? I think that's what we're going to get.
We're going to get that next week.
The other thing is I like to say is, what the fuck is up with people who complain about other spoiling TV and movies, etc.? It took me 2 weeks to watch both episodes of The Walking Dead Season 6, and I've yet to watch the full season of Fear of the Walking Dead. And guess what? Aside from your show sporadically mentioning it, I have yet to listen to episodes of TBGWT that cover the show. So why people can't say stay off social media and tell other people that you haven't seen the thing in question, so don't spoil it. Once again, thanks for out of Karen T.Day. Yeah, I don't know, man. Just like when I haven't watched Scandal all season, and I just don't fucking go on Twitter during Scandal time. It's just an hour. It's fine. And if I did happen to catch something, then I just caught it. I'm good. Shay writes in.
Yeah, that's hard for us because we're on the West Coast. So there's a lot of shows that get spoiled that we have to be real careful about.
Exactly. Yeah. We have privilege over here on the East Coast.
Yeah, shit gets shown first. That is one good thing, but it's one of those things too where a lot of people don't use functions that they've designed to help that. They won't mute. They won't, you know, mute hashtags, mute phrases, mute words. And this is one of those things where it's twofold. You know, it's one of those things where people feel like I use the hashtag, but there are people that are complete assholes that will live tweet shows and don't use hashtags. Now that is a different story, I guess, in my opinion.
I don't give a fuck either way. I just stay off Twitter if it's that important to me. Cause it's not
true. If it's
not safe, yeah. And everybody's so entitled and they think the fucking social media experience is supposed to be completely tailored to them.
Right.
People do what the fuck they want with their feeds and that's it. There was a story this morning, some girl, either she made it up or it happened, either way it was hilarious, about going to Florida and a stripper and all this shit, and someone was hitting, and so I was like, what happened? Someone sent me the link to the story file and I did those retweets where I was like, oh damn, or something like that, you know. And the person hit me up with like 40 followers like, you should really take that down because you don't know, people might really shame that person or something. And I was like, you know what, fuck no. It's my feed. You right. Do what the fuck you want. Maybe you don't want to follow me no more. It's like, well, you have 12,000 followers. You should understand. No, I don't understand. Leave me the fuck alone. I didn't say, hey guys, look at this fat, ugly bitch. Come talk shit about it. Oh, I didn't do anything like that. I retweeted a story that was already viral and trending around the United States and the world. But somehow that shit was my fault. Man, get the fuck out of here. Stop being so entitled to someone else's fucking social media feed. I don't go in Nina's page and tell her to put cheese on her chili because I understand. Anyway, Day Walking, Emil writes in, hello, Karen Riding guest. How many brothers fell victim to the streets? Rest in peace, young nigga. There's a heaven for a G. Be a lie if I told you that I never thought of death. My nigga, we the last ones left. Rest in peace, Glenn Ree. I rewatched the episode and I don't know if it was hindsight, but they were foreshadowing Glenn's demise all through the episode. The episode opens on him running hard, followed by snapping Nicholas out of space out numerous times. Then that final call to Rick on the radio. I should have known that this was the writer's way of having Glenn say goodbye. It was telling that he took Herschel's pocket watch out to look at it. Alternatively, he could still be alive. The theory being that when they hit the ground, he was under Nicholas. It seems highly unlikely, but I'm the type of person that holds out hope that Ned Stark is still alive. Oh, man, you need to.
Ooh, okay. What's that, first, second season?
First,
yeah.
With Glenn dead, most of the original group is gone. If you count the original group of the original convoy plus the farm, then there's only Rick, Carol, Daryl, Maggie, and Carl left. You can count Judith if you're an anti-choicer who thinks life begins at conception. Then there's Rick. I love the way Andrew Lincoln acted that final scene. You can feel his desperation as he tries to start the RV. Let it be known that the wolves coming in, shooting up the RV, is a direct consequence of Moore's fucked up catch and release policy. If he had followed Woke Carol's lead, those guys would have been dead. Even worse, the fact that dude even had a gun was Morgan's fault. No, Morgan, wolves' lives do not matter. It looks like next week's episode will feature Morgan's backstory, so we will see his transformation, find out why he's a pacifist in the Z-Pac. Loving the episode reviews. Thanks, man.
Like I said, fuck Morgan.
Right. I agree. Walking Dead is Glenn dead. This is from Ninja Monkey Aquariums. First off, thanks for the best Walking Dead podcast, period. You and Miss Karen make me laugh out loud while cleaning customers' aquariums, which is not very ninja-like. Last week I wrote in and was convinced Enid was a wolf and being completely wrong. I guess I just didn't trust her. This week's show was great and moved very quickly. You had a sense of dread from the moment the episode started. After Rick talks to his people about not stopping for anyone, you knew someone was going to screw up. I have two questions. One, if they are such a good team and both Michonne and Carol have used the zombie guts trick, why isn't that the go-to move for all the zombie killing outings? Real talk, I would be the stank ass dude in the corner with some fish with some fish waders and a full hooded raincoat covered head to toe in zombie stank. Aww. That's a good point. Number two, is Glenn really dead? He wasn't on The Talking Dead. Every major death gets an afterlife on The Talking Dead. Well, what's funny is people keep saying that Nick wasn't on The Talking Dead either.
Right, they said they didn't have anybody, or purposely didn't have anybody.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, because right. They were being fucking weird about it.
Right.
They, like, even saying that was fucking weird, but they could have at least had Nick on there.
Right.
We know, it's somebody, Nick part of the guts, period.
Yeah, we know.
And he shot himself in the fucking head.
So he's gone.
Yeah, so they could have at least had that dude on there, but maybe they didn't want any questions.
Right.
Every major death gets an afterlife on The Talking Dead. Where we all feel sorry for them and hope they get a Marvel movie or Star Wars franchise is a thank you from all of us. Glenn wasn't in The Talking Dead afterlife. If we keep it only from the show to give us clues, the worst sidekick ever looked like he landed on Glenn, so maybe Glenn is freaking out, but he isn't actually being eaten. I know it's a long shot, but I really like Glenn. I hate how this show punishes characters for believing in others outside the group. Thanks. Y'all love the show. Well, we'll see in a couple weeks. I don't think we'll see next week, but I mean, my textbook answer is pretty much we'll see how they write themselves out of it, and if they write something that is fun and entertaining, then it'll be cool.
Nicotero came out and said that we will have an answer within the next 5 episodes.
Yeah, so all you guys gotta do is hold over till like February and you'll know right after the Super Bowl. Actually, I think this will be December or something. Will be the fifth episode, so we'll know before.
Yeah, it'll be the mid-season finale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Walking Dead season 6 episode 3 from Adrian. She writes, "Hello, Rod, Karen, and guests. First, I live for Karen's thank you, sweetie. After I write in, gives me a little chair." Now on to my Walking Dead comments. Sturgis was another Carter. Alexandria is full of naysayers, and he died already. This show really has a thing against small animals, poor little star bunnies. I love the callbacks the show is doing this season, i.e. Glenn calling Rick dumbass, which harkens back to early season 1. How many people did Nicholas and Aiden leave behind? Given how many folks must have never come back from those runs, I'm surprised people joined their crew. Right. Well, they will come back and be like, those cowards. People will go out with them like, yeah, I'm not a coward. I got your back. And then it's like, oh, wait, you guys are the cowards.
Oh, boy.
Discussion point. Well, that's what happened. Discussion point. Rick's running with his wound. When you run, you increase your heart rate and how fast blood is pumping. Rick was literally pumping blood out of his wound when he was running. That's got to suck. I guess at the herd that showed up when Michonne and Alexandria's were leaving the pet shop. I can't believe the group burst out of the pet store like that. They lost a lot of people on this run. I figured the red shirt Alexandrians would die, but I was not expecting Glenn's death. Poor Maggie. She has lost so many people lately. That's exactly what Donnie was saying. I wasn't surprised Rick ran into the wolves, but I was surprised that Michonne, Heath, and the guy shot in the leg did not. Scott, did you ever have conversations about who is going to be safe on the next episode? My family does. After the show, we had a bunch of conversation about whether Glenn is really dead or not. I'm sure you discussed this, but do you think Glenn survived in some quirk of fate, or do you think he is dead? I personally, listen, My personal belief is, with the way they shot it, I would be happier if he was dead, because the way he's gotten by the biggest pass on being a pacifist, but also because they shot it so fucked up, like so ambiguous, that I think the funner thing for me would be everyone for weeks being like he's not dead and then coming back and he is. Because if he isn't dead, it's almost like the show is predictable. You know what I mean? Like, if he isn't dead, it's almost like all the people who are saying he isn't dead are saying, I don't think he's dead, because the show is so easy to see through at this point. Which, you know, which might mean that they've done this a couple times too many. You know, like, I think this is one of those things where you can get away with it very rarely, but it's very, once you start, like, once a season, somebody is going completely, impossible and coming out on top, I think you start to get people like, oh, they just don't kill, they're just not gonna kill this person. You know, so that's my guess. I don't know. Honestly, I thought he was dead until the Talking Dead came on. Well, there you go. Worked so hard to say that he was without saying he was, that now I'm convinced he's not. Do you think Rick is getting out of that predicament of stuck in an RV with no door with a large herd of zombies, or is he done in? I, for one, am not giving up hope that Glenn is still alive, and I'm certain Rick gets out of that predicament. Have a great weekend. Yeah, I'm assuming that Rick's alive. Is anybody assuming Rick died or was going to die?
No, Rick. Donnie?
Donnie, you eating pizza over there?
He can't die. Rick won't die. He's the star of the show.
All right. You better not be eating fucking pizza or watching football. That's all I know. TWD, thank you. From Derek. Rod and Karen, thank you for doing your day walking feedback. I look forward to it, and them thrones after every show. Here's my feedback for the third installment. Rick was right. They are too weak to make it in this world. Are the Alexandrians really this stupid, or victims of bad writing? Sturgis shot dude with friendly fire, basically dooming him. Black guy, of course. Yeah, he shot that black dude right in the leg. It's like the bullets. I don't think white people are racist. I just think bullets magically seek, they're racist. They seek black people.
Purposely.
The guy who was scared and wanted to stay, but was in a walker's lap getting his throat out. How the F does that even happen? Rick took care of the wolf with a gun. The black one that jumped on his back as well as the three crouched down outside the RV. LOL. Why didn't Michonne put that guy on the fence getting chomped? Why did she basically kill him? I don't know. I thought about that too. Like, why don't y'all kill him instead of letting him just get bit to death?
She stabbed her in the head.
She stabbed that dude in the head?
Yes, she did.
Okay, I missed that. I know she stabbed a dude that got bit by the walker in the woods in the head.
Yeah, she stabbed that dude in the head. Wrong person.
The one through the fence?
Yeah, the one on the fence. I think they all watched him.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, because it was one of, like, what were you gonna do when you were wasting time? They could have done pushed the fence over.
It would have took a second to kill him. What if they would have just been like as he was dying, and he was like, oh, I'm dying, they would have been like, cracker, and they just walked off. Everybody was like, Lord. Oh my god, they was racist the whole time. Racist. Black people can be racist too. That would have been, see, if you want a cliffhanger Walking Dead, why don't you write that in there, Greg Nicotero?
No, I disagree.
I guarantee you'll be trending number one worldwide.
Yes, you will, with a bunch of anchor people.
Everybody on hashtag daywalking will be like, good. And then everybody on just the Walking Dead hashtag will be like, my lord. This is why we flipped their desk.
Oh, lord.
So yeah, why didn't Michonne put, okay. Kind of convenient that the zombies in the closet waited so long for the noise in that pet shop. Yeah, I think maybe they heard the gunshots outside. Mm-hmm. Glenn is not dead, y'all. The writers are trying to make us think that, man, there's a lot of Glenn truthers. The writers are trying to make us think they are going Game of Thrones hard, but he is under Dickless who's getting chopped. He made a statement about it too. 16 minutes and 20 seconds in, he said, if I get trapped, I'll find a way to signal y'all that I'm okay. He's under the dumpster, although I have no idea how he's going to get out. He wasn't under the dumpster on the scene. Mm-mm. Where the last closing scene they showed to him.
He was not under the dumpster.
You can see his face. He hadn't made it under the dumpster at that time.
No.
Now he might. That dumpster did have a big ass gap under it. So I did go back and pause it to see. Someone will have to cause a really big distraction to get that many walkers from him, though. Excellent show and season so far. Can't wait to see Morgan's cheesemaker backstory next week. As always, can't wait to hear y'all spin on this one. MVP Glenn for hanging out with Dickless and letting him lead the group down a dead end. That's the least valuable player. Most likely to die next, the brother that got shot by Sturgis.
Oh.
Maybe he'll die of infection from that dirty ass water they walked through. Jordan writes in and says why Glenn has to be dead. Man, a lot of y'all racist against Asian people this week. Hey, Rod and Karen. I've been dying to write in, but didn't want to bore you with my neediness. But this last episode begs a few things. Glenn is dead. He has to be. If he isn't, then this show has lost any credibility they built up. I can suspend disbelief for Assassin's Creed, but the idea that Glenn would, Assassin's Creed Carol, but the idea that Glenn would just slide underneath all those zombies, find his way back safely and survive later on is beyond belief. This 3-episode arc has a few common things: the cost of patience, mercy, and understanding, and the realization that a long life is not guaranteed to those who do nothing / the right thing. If you remember Enid going full Master Shredder on that turtle, it gives you a reference. In some cultures, turtles represent patience and long life. The savage death is proof that the Alexandrians who are sitting safely in their shell are still vulnerable to those who are attempting to survive or scary enough just thrive in this world will make them prey. Oh, I didn't even get that symbolism. I guess that's definitely one way to look at it. Maybe I'm gonna start looking at things deep like that.
Not me.
See the reason that they were stuck on top of a dumpster is because Glenn and Nick are trash. See what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord.
They some trash ass individuals, dog. They garbage. Also, no. worth noting is the cost of patience for the people who thought they would just ride out the apocalypse. They're all gone. This is the world now. Even if you start growing things, if you start protecting yourself, you have to be doing so with the realization that the world is what it is and will not be going back. Hence why Enid is alive. JSS, surviving and living are different. And truly, every time Rick's group has tried to quote unquote live, they have paid severe costs at the prison. When Daryl and Michonne stopped hunting the governor, even in season 1, when they let down their guard and thought they could live at the CDC, they almost get blown up. Living isn't an option, surviving is. Which brings us to Glenn. He has grown stronger, smarter, faster. Hell, he has taken whatever steroids Rick Cruz takes, but he has done so with the belief that he will settle down and have a happy and easy family life at some point. Never killing a person, always giving second chances. Mercy has a price, and it's his life. Glenn died because I assume this upcoming week we will learn that Morgan had to kill because he, much like the rest, accepted that Rick was right. If you are going to survive and protect those you love, you will have to remove your belief in mercy. It may hurt, but it has to go away. Love, y'all.
Morgan didn't kill nobody.
Yeah. If Morgan,
he didn't kill that guy.
Yeah, if I find out that motherfucker didn't kill that person, man, like, he next on my shit list, bro.
Yes.
I'm serious. That, like, he said sorry, and then it was like a thwack, but it wasn't a gushy thwack, you know?
Yeah, there was no point. I mean, there was that staff, from looking at it, doesn't look like it kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But knock him out, it could. And then he grabbed that little blue bag. Like,
yeah, what's that bag for?
What the hell's the blue bag?
This is what I keep my rope in, Rick.
You better have killed that boy.
Yeah. Morgan. I'm going to miss Lenny James, though. He can act. You ever seen Lenny James talk in real life? He's like English and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's British.
Yeah. Like, well, I told those.
So is Maggie is, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of them are.
Right.
Now that I think about it, Rick is British. They're all British.
I wonder if you think Glenn is British?
No.
Oh. Hey, they got Asian people over there, man. I'm just saying.
Well, no, I saw Glenn at Wizard World, and I, a few of them I saw at Wizard World. They're normal.
What if he had like a really bad, stereotypical, broken English Chinese accent, but when he acted, he had perfect English? Like, that would be amazing. Yeah, I'm not gonna do it because it's offensive, but you guys know what I mean. They walking. Hi, Rod and Karen. It's from Patrice W. Is TWD trying to kill us? 3 episodes of my heart about to jump out my chest. Don't know if I could take any more. Other than Heath and maybe Jesse, the other people, Alexandra, are useless and not worth a shit. Well, Aaron, right?
Aaron the beast, yeah.
Sam, he good at hiding. Morgan's passive ass not wanting to kill people almost got Rick killed. I haven't totally thrown the towel in on Morgan, but it won't take much more. Not sure how Rick is going to get away from all those walkers. I'm glad that he got to see right away that Michonne was trying to, what Michonne was trying to tell him. If you ain't never been covered in blood, that may or may not be yours. You don't know nothing about in these streets, about being out in these streets. I hope that Glenn isn't dead. At least not because of Nicholas punk ass.
Right.
Don't know how he could get away from those walkers. Although I think it was Nicholas guts that we saw. Maybe Glenn could have gotten under that dumpster. But for now, I'm going to lean that to the dead Glenn side. Yeah, I think I was more angry when I first saw it, but I feel like either way the show's reached like a new quote unquote low in integrity with the teasing of it. Not the actual storytelling, but just the whole like, ooh guys, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? I think it would have been cooler to just play it more coy. You know what I mean? But they're totally teasing this thing up. So I hope the payoff is worth it. Maybe the payoff will be so good I'll just be like, I don't care what they do, you know?
We'll see.
I guess The Walking Dead heard enough of people saying they keep killing off the black guys. The only three who made it back to Alexandria so far were Michonne, Heath, and Scott. Side note, I want Ron to die. I think Enid is part of the wolves. Love the show. Can't wait to hear the recap. All right. I don't think Enid's part of the wolves. I'm sorry.
I've never thought she was part of the wolves. I just didn't trust that bitch.
Okay. I clearly have you on tape saying you thought he was part of the wolves. Episode 1061, Comply or Die. Oh wait, this is just regular feedback. Let me move this to the regular feedback pile. We'll get to this
wrong folder
Saturday. Sorry about that. We got so much feedback from Day Walk. We got four left. We're almost done. Jamel writes in, sup Queen Karen and Big Rod. Shout out to Donnie, indentured servant to Nina Perez and podcast fandom.
Oh Lord.
So quick question for Donnie. Is Nina a biatch to you in real life like she pretends to be on the podcast? No disrespect.
What kind of question is this?
Me and Nina are real. That's all I gotta say. We're real.
Mm-hmm. Donnie,
that's why people have been telling us for years that we just need to do like put cameras around the house and record us day in and day out and we'd be freaking millionaires.
Mm, all right.
I watch that shit.
Well, I don't know how she's gonna feel about him saying she's being a bitch to you, but okay.
she's in the chat. Let's wait for her to comment.
That's not my question, Nina, and I'm not co-signing it. Mm-hmm. I think you're a very lovely person.
I love you, Nina.
And there you go. Please don't beat Donnie for this. Okay, on to my brief comments. I'm a huge fan of The Walking Dead and Fear The Walking Dead. I will consume any and all content related to The Walking Dead to try to make it a whole week until the next episode. By Saturday, I really am at the end of my rope for waiting. With that being said, I came across a lot of podcasts, but the Blackout Tips and Podcast Fandom are by far the two best head and shoulders above the rest. Shout out to John and his random movie quotes and entertainment trivia. With that being said, what the fuck is going on with this episode? I died a little inside when I saw Glenn laying there crying. Hell of an acting job. That is true. That motherfucker was crying like shit. Can anybody tell me why in the hell did Daryl turn back around at the end and go back to Sasha and Mother Dick? After he heard the gunshot over the walkie-talkie, I would think that is the reason to keep going to see if your friend was shot. Oh well, it's so hard to say goodbye to Glenn. Sky Jammer, thank you.
Oh right Lord. Now. And Anita said in the chat room, her answer is yes, I am.
Okay. All right, there you go. Hashtag Day Walking, start some damn forest fire, said Charles. Hey Rod and Karen and Donnie, love the show, been listening for about a year now. The Blackout Tips and Balls D Sports are my weekly highlights. Your Walking Dead and Game of Thrones recaps are pure gold. Also, thank you for putting the word onto Groupie Tales and hating ass Terrell Jones with his abandonment issues. Gotta say, this week's episode of The Walking Dead was so emotionally intense, great dialogue, and I love when they get inside the character's head the way they did with Nathaniel with his old bitch ass. This season has surprised me with how good it's been. I thought they'd rush right into the wolf storyline, but they haven't, and I think it's laid the foundation for a more interesting plot. Specifically, I think a lot of what has been going on the last few episodes has really called into question Rick's leadership. I've been on Team Rick from day one, but I'm starting to think that he might be the best general. He may not be the one you want to make the decisions. And it seems even his own crew thinks that. And last season, we saw Rick pull some pretty foul shit. In this episode, saw Michonne, Glenn, and Daryl all second guessing his decisions. I think it's going to really cause some tension in Alexandria, because as bad as he may be, there's not really anyone else who can step up besides Deanna, and she's not up to the task, especially when the Wolves shit starts to pop off, had they rushed into the inevitable Wolves war. I didn't think this would have been such a good deal, but it is pretty fascinating. I think Rick's leadership is...
When is Rick? Rick hasn't been wrong.
Yeah,
everything
I think...
he said comes true. He's not wrong.
Right. I think Rick's the best leader of all the possible choices. Maybe Michonne would be a better leader. But everybody goes through their shit, is what people aren't realizing. Yeah. And there's been times when any of them would have been a bad leader.
Right.
You know, there's been times when Michonne was off doing her own thing, like, fuck this group. You know, and she came back when she got shot. She's like, oh, I got shot by the governor. Okay, y'all can help me. You know, Rick has lost his wife. He's gone crazy.
Lost his mind, yeah.
Heard the phone. Like, he's
seeing ghosts.
Yeah, he's almost been eaten. Rick to me is a guy who's just, like I said, he's pragmatic now. He's just like, I'm done giving fucking rallying speeches. Do what the fuck I say or you're gonna die. I'm not gonna kill you, but you're gonna die because you don't know what the fuck you're doing, and I do. And sometimes as a leader, that's just the way you have to do. You have to tell people to follow your advice or sink or swim. That's it. Still, this show has proven time and time again that people who are reasonable and less militant in their leadership die. That's what I'm saying. Reg, Herschel, Dale. So maybe Rick's way is the only way to survive in this world. It's one of the ways, but none of the ways are nice.
Mm-mm.
But my biggest takeaway from this season is, can we please stay out of the woods? I swear zombies lurking behind a tree are causing half of the deaths on this damn show. And you would think people would get the point by now. It's been 500 something days since the outbreak and another 800 since Bobby Schroeder got locked up. Well, technically, it's only been like 313 days. 314, I mean. yeah, so you think somebody would have got the memo that the woods are a no-go zone? I was there. If I was there, I'd be on some fuck Smokey the Bear shit. I'd burn that shit to the ground. That or get my ass to Oklahoma. Anyway, sorry for the long ass email. Just want to throw some thoughts out there. Love the show. Keep up the good work. All right, two more. Cecil writes in, this episode was nerve wracking and emotional. I felt like any and everyone was going to die. I love this episode. A few observations. Dr. Dre can't really be that upset at Rick for saying leave them behind if they can't keep up. As soon as he said that, they started dying. Alexandrians are the worst. I may be playing the results, but why did Michonne open this dude's spelling everybody's name wrong. Anyway, why did Michonne open that door? It was secure. Felt like she was smarter than that. Which door? The door with the banging ass zombies?
Oh, she had to, because that was going to draw the rest of them in and kick and lock them in there.
Yeah, I don't know which door you're talking about, man.
Or did they open the door? They had to open the door to get out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough knowing that Glenn's death could have been prevented if he would have just killed that dude after he fucked up multiple times. In the zombie apocalypse, you can't show compassion towards someone who could get you or your crew killed. Man, he tried to kill Glenn. I'm sorry, man. I remember the last episode of last season being so fucking livid about that, but I guess enough time passed over the summer that I forgot how mad I was at Glenn about that. But when he died, I immediately felt joy in my heart.
I was like,
I was like, oh, that is right.
You should have killed him.
Why? You can't just keep, don't do that. It's like staying friends with racists on Facebook. Don't do it.
Unfriend him.
I wonder how Maggie would deal with it if she'll even accept that he's dead. There's no way for her to know for sure that Glenn is dead. People thinking Glenn is still alive is ridiculous. Love the show. I do not think people are being ridiculous. Mm-mm. I think the show is being ambiguous on purpose, and they want people to be totally in one camp or totally in the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could go either way, and the show, I just feel like the show's integrity is going to always be a little questionable from this point on, because they are purposely playing it for something bigger than the story.
Right.
In my opinion, it would be like, to me, it would be like if The Wire ended with Omar, like, not dying. Like, if they were just like, maybe he died, maybe he didn't. You know what I mean? Where you're like, okay, that doesn't fit the rest of the way you tell these stories. Typically, even when you have these miraculous saves, is not played for, like, you know, let's take a poll on the Talking Dead and we're not gonna have the actor here and we're not, you know, like, typically they're just like, here's the way it happened on the show, now here's the fallout, talk about it, you know?
Right.
So this is definitely a new bar that they've set, whether you consider that high or low, just all up to you. Last email, from EVE, she says, Walking Dead feedback. Hello, Rod, Karen, and Donnie. There's so many things I could say about this episode. First of all, I enjoyed all the instant karma as far as the Alexandrians getting killed as soon as they started talking shit. That was pretty awesome. I love the way Michonne read Heath for filth. Me too. Favorite part of the episode. Watched it 3 times. All that talking under his breath and throwing shade was getting on my nerves. Michonne talking to Heath like a black mama talks to her teenager who thinks they're grown in front of his friends and embarrasses the hell out of him. Heath needed to hear that because he was thinking because he went through on a few runs for Alexandria, he knew what it was like to survive in the shit.
Right, because he could always come back. Like, there was no coming back. When they was out there, they was goddamn out there.
The only thing missing was him saying, you know, listen, woman. That's the only thing missing. That dude knew he had a place to lay his head when he went on those runs. Rick's team didn't. They were eating dogs. Dogs! Right. That's what I was hoping Michonne would be like. You ever ate dogs? Huh?
Or neck.
Right.
Right.
Do you even do your own hair? Look at my hair. Look at yours.
I use shea butter. What do you use?
What I didn't like about this episode is how disappointed I am in Morgan's character. If Rick wasn't the badass he was, those wolves would have killed him. Those were the same damn wolves Morgan let live. And then Glenn, I screamed and cried and then screamed some more. It felt like an old friend died. A lot of people are claiming he's not dead, and I would love for it to be so, but I'm not sure how the writers are going to pull that off. If he's alive, I don't appreciate the writers playing with my emotions like that just for the sake of keeping me watching. I'd watch regardless because I love the show so much. They didn't have to do that to a sister. Regardless of the outcome, I love The Walking Dead and will not give up on it. Still a great show. Yeah, I was so mad at the teasing. I remember watching The Talking Dead being like, I don't even know if I want to review this fucking show anymore. Cause it's so, like, it's so corny to tease it the way, to the level they're teasing it. Like, it's such a, like, blatant, like, slap, like, just look, look what we're doing, America. Like, I get it, man. You don't got to spike the touchdown on this dog.
Well, I'm telling you, it'd be Karen and a guest. Cause fuck that. I'm going to review the show.
Yeah. I like.
But you got to think of it, like, it's kind of brilliant because it's got people talking. It's some shit like Game of Thrones would do, but it's got people talking for a whole fucking week of just conversation. People are just like throwing different scenarios up. Like constantly every day there's somebody's article coming up. Oh no, this is what could happen. This is just theories beyond theories.
Oh, I definitely agree, but that's also a step the show didn't have to take because it's already the highest rated show on cable. And it feels kind of crass. You know, it like, it takes you out of the quote unquote reality that they're spinning, which, you know, which is totally their right for the record, but it's also my right to be a little bit like skeeved out by it. Like, oh, you know, cause I feel like this is a show for me that I've enjoyed as much as Breaking Bad. You know what I'm saying? Where they don't need to do that because they spin such a good yarn every week. The show is good enough to do it without that. But this is the thing they felt they needed to do. So, it is what it is. I get both sides of it. I get the people who are like, this is whack. And I get the people that are like, I fucking love this. Keep doing it. This could be a jump the shark moment. Like if we're doing this like a couple times a season, I think people will get fed up eventually. We'll see how many times they go back to this, tactic. I like that this episode showed us how decisions can come back to haunt us in the long run, or immediately in the case of Morgan letting the wolves go and Glenn not killing Nicholas when he had the chance, or at the very least telling his crew what Nicholas did. Oh, and how Sturgis ran away like a punk. Despite the Glenn thing, I really enjoyed it. This season has started out with a bang and I can't wait to see what happens next. EVE, thank you so much, everybody, Donnie, for your feedback.
Yes.
Donnie, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, Donnie.
No, thank you. This was fun. So anytime you guys want me to come back, I'll come back.
No problem. Woo-hoo! Man. Are you over there eating pizza right now?
Not yet. I pizza guy did deliver while we were recording.
Okay, and are you watching football? Because I feel I was just checking. All right, man. make sure you check out Donnie, on Facebook. Donnie Bau, BAU. Donald Bow. You can also see him on you can listen to him on podcast fandom, mm-hmm. where he's reviewing let's see, The Flash, The Walking Dead. Are you still reviewing Empire?
I don't do Empire. Nina does. Okay. The only ones I do, in the summertime, I do The Fear of the Walking Dead and Humans.
There you go. So make sure you check out his work there. He'll be there eating and watching football. And
mm-hmm. Getting yelled at.
Getting yelled at. Which is what we do. Check out all your nightmares on iTunes, the audio play album from Shadow Dog Productions, and check out Bevel, getbevel.com. We'll be back Saturday for our feedback show. Balls Esports is Friday, and then Sunday we have a guest from the Comedy Outliers, Mike Brown, who now has a new web series out called Can't Stop Won't Stop.
Oh, they're good,
which
too.
Is hilarious. I've been trying to spread the word on social media. You guys should all check that out. We'll talk to you guys then. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.